6:31 on your Tuesday morning, back here on the Bernie and the Sid Show, here on Talk Radio 77 WABC. LeBros, if you're listening, 30 seconds is not enough. It's got to hit the chorus. God, I'm so sick of talking about the goddamn music on this show. It's got to hit the chorus. And you can't start from the chorus because that sounds like crap. Can we fix this once? It's not like I don't get a million complaints from the listeners. They actually do care about the music on this show just as much as Joe Biden, Andrew Cuomo, or the New York Mets. So we got to fix it. It's not to really bother me. Hi, good morning, buddy.
How do you think I feel, bro?
I don't think you care.
I got to sit here and listen to music that you pick all morning long and with my hands tied behind my back.
Well, you can pick all the songs.
I've been handcuffed.
You can pick a song or a couple of songs. I don't care. You can pick all the songs. I don't think you're interested. You don't care.
I believe me when I tell you.
So pick some songs.
There are some songs that I would rather play. I was told to.
No. That's not
this
true.
This is not your department.
That's a lie. That's not true.
That's exactly what I was told.
Somebody told you that?
Yeah. You mentioned his name already.
Oh, my God. That's not right. No. You could pick as many songs as you want.
Right?
I don't care.
Should be that way, but it's not.
Of course. I think you're making that up.
No, I think you know what I'm talking about.
No, I really don't know that. I'm not happy about that.
All right, Matt Meany, come on the mic.
Meany,
what's up?
Bernie doesn't allow to pick any songs. He can't pick a songs. He can't pick... Of course
I don't know. Who did you mention? I don't know where that edict came out.
LeBrosi.
Who?
Right. I
Dave
have nothing
LeBrosi.
To do with the
rejoins. Oh, okay.
I have nothing
I
to do with the rejoins.
Oh, that.
Yeah, but
well,
you can
that,
pick the music.
Yeah,
that's silly. Of course,
there,
you can pick the music. I mean, the music you pick sucks. It's, you know, this. It's the rap and the metal stuff at 6:30 in the morning.
Beside the point. It's all subjective.
Of course it is. My music sucks, too.
What I'm trying to say is it's, you know, I'm sitting here with handcuffs.
No, that's not true. We'll talk about it at the meeting today. We can't have that. Anyway, we got a lot of stuff going on today. This is it's the last week before the primary. You know, I had no idea, Bernie. I saw this morning. I was in shock. Catherine Garcia is in second place?
She is number two.
How?
Although I would suggest Maya Wiley is probably number two in the metaphorical sense.
You think so?
She's pathetic.
I know that wasn't funny, right?
But, no, that is very funny.
But she's actually number three.
Who is?
Maya Wiley.
Four.
Oh, is it four? In the latest.
I don't know if these polls are all wrong, which you say all the time, and you're right about that. In my 6 years with you, you've been right about that a heck of a lot more than wrong.
It's Adams, it's Garcia, Wiley, and then Yang.
Oh, Wiley's three ahead of Yang. I thought Yang was three and then Wiley. Okay.
No.
Yang's in fourth.
Yang is, he's dropping like a rock.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, and he turned out to be no better than some Beto O'Rourke-like doofus anyway.
Yeah.
So, good. You know, they're all... He was actually endorsed
by the police captains yesterday. Andrew Yang, endorsed by the police captains.
Police captains.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Who the hell are the police captains? All the good police captains have retired, apparently. That they would endorse anybody in the Democrat on the Democrat side is ridiculous.
We're looking at each other like, what the hell is this?
I would say that the two people on top are probably the best people, Eric Adams and Catherine Garcia, the best of the bad, of a horrible bunch.
Right.
I would think, anyway. She doesn't seem to be too offensive to me.
No, I don't know much about her. That's kind of why I like her. She's not on TV talking about take guns away from cops like this idiot Maya Wiley.
Yeah. Oh, no. The fact that she's in third place should send a chill up the spine of every single New Yorker. And I'm talking about commuters like myself as well. Everybody. This is the woman who couldn't say when they asked her, hey, do you want to take guns away from police? Well, I'm not ready to commit to that right now. You're not?
That's life.
Yeah, New York City in 2021.
I mean, all you had to say was, of course not. That's it.
Bingo.
And everybody would have been okay with you.
People getting murdered left and right all over the place. And people of color, for the most part, people who she purports to care about.
Yeah.
But obviously not. And then the front page of the New York Post, Washington Square Park, that thing. I mean, that's just really symbolic. Most people listening to us, we have no connection to Washington Square Park. Nobody goes down here and hangs out. Anybody that's listening to us, probably. But the symbolism is that they invoked a curfew, a 10 p.m. Curfew, and then they just backed away from it.
Right.
And people were beat up, robbed, stabbed over the weekend because they backed away from it. In other words, if you're going to implement a curfew, stand your ground. If you're going to be the police, be the police.
And worse than that, not worse, but certainly as bad as that, what you're talking about, the stabbings, the crime and all that, which took place after 10 p.m. in the wee hours in Washington Square Park, was the mayor. Bill de Blasio, instead of coming out and saying, wait a second, this is really bad. This is a beautiful park. The mayor comes out and goes, there's a couple of little things here and there. No big deal.
You know, I saw this guy getting interviewed on Channel 5. He was some sort of immigrant. And he said it very, very well. He said it's just out of control. The people doing drugs, and he's not talking about reefer. He said they're doing, you know, opiums and heroin and all this, like four or six feet away from kids.
Hard stuff.
They're having sex on the bench and, you know, doing all kinds of crazy things. In addition to the robberies and the stabbings.
Yeah.
Big Bird doesn't have a clue.
And these people that live in the hood, I mean, they can't get to sleep at night.
No, I know. I know.
But the point is that the mayor and the police backed down after implementing a curfew, sending the message that you people in the streets are in control and not us.
The other point, too, is that while we have that primary next week and Bill de Blasio is on his way out, be careful what you wish for. Because as bad as he's been the worst mayor in the history of this city. There actually could be somebody worse.
Mayor Wiley.
Right behind him. Yeah, I'm not even through with Eric Adams. I know you are. I'm not either. Anyway, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Bo Dietl coming up in the 7 o'clock hour this morning. The very talented and feisty Joyce Kaufman, WFTL Fort Lauderdale, coming up at 9:05 this morning. Going to be a great show.
Stay informed with Bernie and Sid in the morning on 77 WABC.
So if I asked you, the Commodores, Lady, your great song, Lionel Richie, if I asked you, and of course you know everything, Bernie, so you're going to know this, but I'll ask it anyway, just for the purpose of our listeners, can you tell me the last parade, not Zoom parade, like a real parade at full capacity, can you tell me the last parade we had here in New York?
I would say, because the first one that was canceled, remember, was St. Patrick's Day Parade.
Right.
So what comes before St. Patrick's Day? Well, I'd have to go back to Thanksgiving of 2019,
it's
right?
It's not a bad guess. Not a bad guess. It's wrong, but it's not a bad guess. The last parade was, in fact, in 2019. And believe it or not, it was when our women's soccer team won the gold medal. Remember that Megan Rapinoe, that
Blue-haired ingrate?
Yes, right. The blue-haired ingrate. So that was the last parade. Now we're going to have a parade for the first responders and all the folks that put their lives on the line. Not teachers, all the folks that put their lives on the line.
That's right, not teachers, no. Man. You teachers, really, your reputation has suffered big time,
And my nieces are all teachers, went to Binghamton. They're great kids. They love working, so it's not a shot at all teachers. But
no, it's not. My son's fiance is New York City public high school teacher.
Right.
But you don't want to paint everybody with a broad brush. But
that's part of the reputation. But they're going to have this parade coming up. But I was surprised to find out that was the last parade, the women's soccer team, believe it or not, was the last one. So we spoke a lot about Bibi Netanyahu yesterday. Dov Hyken was here, and that was a great conversation. And I thought I loved Bibi before. In fact, I know I loved Bibi before. Now I really love him, because it turns out on his way out of the Knesset on Sunday, he opened a can of whoop-ass on Joe Biden. Well-deserved, well-said, perfect analogy. F you, Joe Biden.
No, he really did, and good for him. Listen, I detest Joe Biden. I really do.
I can't tell.
I know he's he's old and he's out of it, but a part of me says he is with it somewhat, and he's just a coward, and he's just throwing away. I mean, he's just ruining this whole country intentionally. I mean, consciously. He knows what he's doing. I believe he knows what he's doing in a lot of cases. I don't care what anybody says. He's just going along. He's just like another schmuck Schumer. He's no spine. He's going along doing what they tell him to do. But to your point, this was Bibi Netanyahu on his way out of the office. This was yesterday, actually, late yesterday in Israel. The new U.S. administration requested that I save our disagreements on the Iran nuclear deal for behind closed doors and not share them publicly. I told them I won't act that way. And then he goes on. And this is the best part.
So good.
In 1944, at the height of the Holocaust, U.S. President Franklin Roosevelt refused to bomb the railway, leading to the extermination camps, and refused to bomb the gas chambers.
That was in Auschwitz, I think.
which could have saved millions of our people.
That's right.
We hope for others to save us, and they did not come. In the face of the threat of extermination, we were helpless. Our voice was not heard. We had neither a state nor an army, but today we do have a voice, and we do have a state, and we do have a defensive power, and we're going to speak the F up, Joe Biden. We're not going to do this behind closed doors. We're not going to let Iran have their nuclear weapons. So don't tell me to shut up, punk.
You know, usually when people invoke the Holocaust, whether it's Marjorie Taylor Greene talking about the mask mandate, comparing that to the Holocaust, which was really stupid, or AOC talking about the camps in Texas, comparing those to concentration camps, really stupid. Usually I get somewhat offended, but in this case, that is a perfect analogy because that is what FDR did. You know, all you folks out there think he was a great president. He knew Jews were being killed in huge numbers every day, did nothing about it. So I loved that analogy from Bibi Netanyahu yesterday.
That was great. Just punched the old dotard right in the mush. By the way, were you offended by Soup Nazi?
No, for some reason I wasn't.
Okay.
That's funny.
Hey, what's Joe Nolan doing?
Nothing, just sitting here in my basement.
Were you offended by the Soup Nazi
no.
Seinfeld show?
No, I was never really a big Seinfeld fan, but the Soup Nazi didn't bother me now.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, well, clearly you're a very insensitive, callous guy.
That's okay, as long as you get the traffic right.
That's right, sir.
77 WABC.
Well, we just talked about Joe Biden and Bibi Netanyahu on this, the Tuesday edition of Bernie and Sid. That's the least of Biden's problems. Yes, Bibi doesn't like him, doesn't like the Iran nuclear deal. What level-minded, rational American, let alone Jewish American, is okay with that? But let's take it to the world stage, not just Israel. A brutal day for Joe Biden yesterday. Look, you hate Donald Trump, that's fine. You hate him, you don't miss him, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know how anybody, if they're going to be honest, whether you voted for Biden or not, how anybody, if they're going to be honest, can't come to the realization and admit that whether you love or hate Donald Trump, take him out of the equation. He's not the president of the United States right now. He's not. This has become a complete embarrassment for the country and the world. And yesterday, for all the times I heard they're laughing at Donald Trump, they never laughed at Donald Trump. They didn't. They were nervous about Donald Trump. They are laughing at Joe Biden. And yesterday, it happened again.
Laughing directly at him. They're all saying, too, yeah, we like Biden because he's going to cooperate with us. I mean, meaning he's going to give away the store, getting back into the Paris Climate Accords, which is just complete suicide for this country. I mean, it's just we're the only ones who sacrifice anything out of the G7 or Russia, China, anybody. That and the Iran nuclear deal, they know he wants to get back in that. He's the idiot who okayed the Russia to West Europe pipeline. I mean, Russia's supposed to be our foe, and he okayed it. He said, go ahead and do it.
Isn't he with Putin today?
As he was canceling our own pipeline right here.
Right.
And he's going to meet with Putin today, and yeah. Of course it's going to be embarrassing. He's not going to do, and he knows it would be embarrassing if he did a dual press conference, which is traditional after having a bilateral meeting like that. They usually have a press conference together. But they're not going to because it would be Mr. Magoo standing next to Darth Vader. He would just be humiliated and embarrassed. And it's just terrible. It's really, as you point out, he's feeble. He's weak. And what they say about China, they say Russia is a threat, but China presents challenges is what they say. They're afraid to take on China. But they did laugh. Hey, play the laugh one from yesterday. I don't know if the audio quality is that good, but check this out. They're all sitting around at a table, right? And then Boris Johnson, he actually introduces everybody. And he introduces the South African president as well. And then Joe Biden says, and after he gets done, he says, and you got to introduce the South African president, too. And Boris goes, well, I did. Here, listen. Oh, you don't have that one. Okay. Well, look.
They said, hey, Cyril got two mentions today. I guess Cyril is the name of the South African president.
Well,
so they tried to make a joke out of it, but it was really embarrassing for Joe Biden.
And they laughed at him. They laughed.
Yeah.
They also laughed at him when Jill Biden, he was at a cafeteria with his sneakers on, and somebody called out an impromptu question, and she grabs him by the hand and pulls him away. I mean, like the old, feeble, weak old man that he is, and they just laughed out loud. Listen.
How are your meetings going in Cornwall, Mr. President?
I beg your pardon?
How are your meetings going here in Cornwall?
Very well.
Come on.
That's it. Believe me, if you see the video, they're laughing at him the way she just pulled him away like he was a toddler.
Yeah.
It was bad.
He also got into some trouble, I guess. The Royals are very upset with Joe Biden. Is there anybody he didn't upset? He wore his sunglasses, which is a no-no. And then he started talking to the press about his conversation with the Queen, which is also a very big no-no. So not once but twice Joe Biden screwed up in his royal conversation.
You see that picture of him standing there with the Queen in the idiotic aviator glasses?
He looks like an idiot. I mean, and it's against their... That's not their etiquette. You just don't do that.
No, he's stepping on toes in that regard. But in the other regard, they're just rolling him left and right. Here he is. This is from 2 days ago, confusing Syria and Libya. This is a better clip than we had yesterday. I mean, this is so bad, so bad. Listen to this.
We could work together with Russia, for example, in Libya. We should be opening up the passes to be able to go through and provide food assistance and vital assistance to a population that's in real trouble. The rebuilding of Syria, of Libya, this is, they're there.
God.
I'm hopeful that we can find an accommodation that where we can save the lives of people in, for example, in Libya.
Syria, Libya, Libya, Syria.
Oh, my God.
One of those joints.
Ay, 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 ay.
Okay, so he steps down. They invoke the 25th Amendment. And then what do we get?
Kamala. Worse. We're in big trouble, folks. And the city may be in trouble, too. Again, I'm not thrilled with any of these candidates. Any of them.
She's the only one happy that he's making a fool of himself.
Oh, she loves it.
Because she's like, now I don't look so bad.
All right, talking about looking bad. Hopefully the roads don't look bad at 6:57 on this beautiful Tuesday morning in New York City.
Stay entertained and informed with Bernie and Sid in the Morning on 77 WABC.
No education. We don't need no thoughts.
Like hearing the Bernie and Sid show, heard everywhere on that 77 WABC app, folks. Check that thing out. The 77 WABC app. If you like what you hear, download that app, please. And also a simulcast out on Eastern Long Island, News Talk 107.1 FM. Big Bad Bo Deedle coming up at 7:25. Also, we're going to talk to a great patriot, a Florida radio talent. Her name is Joyce Kaufman at 9:07. And she's down with DeSantis. She's down with Trump. She's down with everything DeSantis is doing in Florida. She's going to tell us all about it on the Bernie and Sid Show.
We are New York. Bernie and Sid in the Morning. Talk Radio 77.
WABC. Baby, tomorrow's so far away. There's something I just have to say.
Folks, download the 77 WABC app or listen online at wabcradio.com. That app is free. You can listen anywhere in the country. actually, folks, all over the world. You could be traveling to Italy, for example, like Juliet, and listen to Bernie and Sid every morning. 77 WABC app. Also, we recommend listen to us on Alexa. Simply say, Alexa, enable the 77 WABC skill. You'll get Bernie and Sid. We are simulcast, of course, on FM radio, Eastern Long Island, Talk Radio 107.1. You can follow us everywhere on Twitter, at Bernie and Sid, at Sid Rosenberg, at Bernard McGurk 1. Also on Instagram, at It's Bernie and Sid. My new Instagram with my stupid new phone is at Rosenberg.Sydney. Follow me today at Rosenberg.Sydney. And all three of us, Bernie, Sid, and the show, have our own Facebook pages. Bo Deedle's coming up next segment. He's always great, not good, great. On a Tuesday, Joyce Kaufman, who I think is one of the more talented talk show hosts in the country out of Fort Lauderdale. She'll join us coming up at 9 o'clock. And a big sports day, too, folks. Islanders, big game tonight. They're trying to go up 2-0 in their quest to get back to the Stanley Cup Finals. And the Nets may be in big trouble in Brooklyn tonight. No James Harden, no Kyrie Irving. And now that series against Milwaukee has been reduced to a best of three.
I've got to put my microphone on, Sydney. Yes, go Islanders, baby. Go Islanders.
You're so excited.
Come
Look at you.
Down in Tampa, as you point out today. But
yeah. They'll be back for game three, and if they can somehow get a win tonight and come back to the island with a commanding 2-0 lead, Long Island's going to explode in a couple of days.
This will be the miracle on ice.
It will be, yes.
Of the 21st century. It really will be. But I'm excited, and I'm a very, very casual fan.
Were you living on Long Island when the Islanders won those four Stanley Cups in the 80s? No, that was way before you.
No. I was at that point, I was in Westchester County, I believe.
Oh, you were?
Yonkers and Hastings on Hudson.
Hastings on Hudson is nice.
I know. I lived in a basement apartment.
Oh, okay.
At a woman's basement apartment for $300 a month.
Is that right?
And the reason why I left, I was driving a taxi in Yonkers, and I got in trouble with the police. And
I know the story.
I broke out of the car. I told you the story.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was a wanted man. So I went up to Hastings to find a place to live so I can get out of Yonkers.
And you stayed there.
And that's where I stayed.
It's actually very nice.
And I was close to Elizabeth Seton College, which is now owned by Iona. So I turned my whole life around right then and there.
Oh,
but it all started with a misunderstanding with the police.
Right, so with the store and the front window.
Right.
Now, what year was that about? Do you remember?
That was 1980.
Okay, so that was right at the beginning of the Islanders' run there. Right at the very beginning, 79, the Rangers lost to the Canadians. That was the John Davidson team. And here come the Islanders right about then, 1980 through about 84, when they started winning all those cups. And then they were unseated after that by Gretzky, Messier, and the Edmonton Oilers. So that was at the very beginning of the Islander dynasty.
Right. No, I was oblivious to the whole thing.
You are, yeah.
Yeah, I was,
but look at you now. Now you're a card-carrying Islander member.
I am. After that national anthem performance last week, I am all in with the Islanders and Long Island. Again, it's Trump country, and I held that rally. I hosted that rally.
Yes, you did.
For Trump just before the election, and we turned Nassau County red.
I can see,
believe it or not,
the visual now. If the Islanders beat Tampa Bay, that's a big if. The Lightning are still the Stanley Cup champs. I know the Isles won the first game, but if they do that and they get to the Stanley Cup Finals and there's a game on Long Island, I can see the picture in page six of the New York Post right now. Peter King, Bill O'Reilly, and Bernie McGurk sitting there with their Mike Bossy, Brian Trottier, and Billy Smith jerseys on, Claude Gillies, Bobby Nystrom, rooting on the New York Hockey Islanders.
Don't rule it out, bro. I'm into it. Hey, listen, Kevin Hart came out yesterday, and he gave an interview somewhere, and he's talking about cancel culture, and I love what he said. He said to everybody, if you did something horrible that led to somebody getting hurt or something, you deserve the repercussions or whatever. But if it's just something you said years ago in an effort to be funny, he says to cancel culture, shut the blank up.
Good for him.
That's what he said. And that's he's talking to people like Seth Rogen. Shut up, Seth Rogen. But somebody said something yesterday. It's your boy Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer.
Why are all the Chucks my boys? Chuck Todd, Chuck Schumer.
Talking, he's our neighbor on 3rd Avenue here. Anyway, listen to what he said. He was talking about disabled kids. Listen.
They wanted to build a congregate living place for retarded children.
The whole neighborhood was against it. These are harmless kids. They just needed some help.
Chuck, no.
They wanted to build a place for retarded children.
Chuck.
And you so know, that, now he's like, oh, I didn't mean to say retarded children. I apologize for that.
Him go for retard.
Should he be canceled?
No, of course. Listen, he's old school Brooklyn. We all threw that word around all the time. And truth be told, I still throw it around once in a while. Then my son, who has a physical disability, gets very upset with me, Gabriel. So it doesn't offend me, but he has to know better in his position of authority.
So I saw this last week on the Daily Mail, among other places. And I also got an email from Bill White. But it's about the in Atlanta, you know, the Buckhead section, right?
I've been there many times. I was there with you most recently when the Patriots played the Rams in the Super Bowl just 2 years ago.
A beautiful, beautiful, beautiful place. The Buckhead section of Atlanta, a gorgeous, affluent section. Anyway, violent crime has soared because of the overreaction to George Floyd and Rayshard Brooks. Remember he got shot because he pointed the taser at the cop?
He was in Atlanta.
Yeah, he was in Atlanta, right. So
he was outside like a Wendy's. So in Buckhead?
So Buckhead crime is just out of control. People are from, and of course, you know, it's an affluent section. So people in Atlanta, in the crime sections, unlike in New York, they're actually going to the affluent section and they're perpetrating these crimes.
Oh, wow.
So Buckhead wants to secede. I saw this last week in the Daily Mail. I had no audio to accompany it, and we have so much stuff going on the show. I never mentioned it, but I saw last night Tucker Carlson did a piece on it, and he played this clip from a CNN reporting on the Buckhead wanting to secede from Atlanta, and of course they made it racial.
The mostly white neighborhood of Buckhead is pushing to separate from the rest of the city. CNN's Ryan Young has more from Atlanta.
The Buckhead Exploratory Committee reports they've raised over $500,000 and is now pushing state lawmakers to push through a bill that would allow their cityhood petition to be voted on in the next election. The predominantly white neighborhoods movement is gaining traction with Republican lawmakers.
So it's white. Well, if you want to go there, if you really want to go there, all of the perpetrators, they're all black.
Right.
I mean, I don't want to say that, but if you're going to say the white, all white neighborhood wants to, all they want, they want peace. They want no crime. It has nothing to do with race. If there were white Albanians coming, if there were white Irish people coming, they'd want the same thing. So they want to secede. They want to hire their own police force, obviously, because, I'll play a clip of Bill White in a minute. He emailed me, and I never wrote him back.
He's in Atlanta, yes.
Remember he burned us last time on something?
Well, he said that Donald Trump was going to tweet something that we talked about on the show, and it didn't happen.
And I love Bill White.
So I also didn't email him back last time.
Right. So, I love him, but I get so many emails. I didn't know. I didn't want to get caught up in something that I didn't want to get caught up in. So I didn't write him back. But anyway, here's a report about the one thing that prompted this Daily Mail piece I saw was a guy was just jogging. He was out jogging. He was out, and he wasn't even robbed. He was just shot. Anyway, two reports, two different people getting attacked. The second one is a couple. Just take a listen.
Neighbors say they're shocked after two crimes hit their Buckhead neighborhood. Atlanta police say on Saturday they found a man with a gunshot wound on West Wesley Road. Investigators say the man and two others were shot at while jogging. Hours later on Saturday, Atlanta police responded to the Collier Ridge apartment complex. Police say they found a man who was severely injured on scene.
He did, in fact, strike an individual that was taking out trash.
Atlanta police say they arrested the suspect shortly after that crime. Now investigators are working to figure out a possible motive.
So there you go. So they figure out a possible motive. Now, the guy who was jogging, and there's a lot of Jews, by the way, in Buckhead and Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
It's huge. I mean, we were down there. Remember Steak Shapiro?
Yeah,
we used to do remotes from there.
He still works in Sports Talk down there on 790. And my nephew, Evan Wagowski, listening right now, he went to Emory University, which is a wonderful school, Jewish. And him and all his buddies, Jewish from Rockland County, went there and hung out in Buckhead.
It's amazing that there are that many Jewish people in Atlanta, of all places, but they are. Anyway, this guy's name was Andrew Worrell. He was the jogger. This is his 911 call. I mean, these people are terrified. Listen to this.
Help! Help!
Hello, Paula.
1211 West Wesley.
Is this a house, apartment, or a place of this?
I'm on the street, 1211 West Wesley. I got shot.
Is the assailant still nearby?
No, I don't know. He drove away.
Okay. And is there any serious bleeding?
Yes, I'm bleeding. I've been shot.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I've been shot.
I mean, are you bleeding, sir? Does it hurt? Is it okay?
I mean, so it's all because of the dopey mayor, Keisha Lance Bottoms, whatever the hell her name is.
That is her name.
Defunding the police and demonizing the police have retired in droves. The wait time for a cop is like 45 minutes. In other words, you can't get a cop. And they wonder why people are going to buying guns in droves.
Yeah.
They wonder. So Bill White is one of the leaders of this Buckhead secession movement. And he is being called a racist. Again, race has nothing to – obviously, clearly, I don't have to tell anybody who's listening to us or you – has nothing to do with – these people just want to be safe.
Right.
They were fine before when they were part of Atlanta with the rest of black Atlanta.
Yep.
No problem. Now things have gotten so bad, they're not being protected. They want to take their own fate into their own hands and protect themselves. So Bill White actually appeared last night on Tucker Carlson, and he reacted to the allegation that he's being racist because white Buckhead wants to secede from mostly black Atlanta. Listen to Bill White.
All those we're racists or this, that, and the other thing, that is all hateful, very disturbing, unhelpful language that's fear-mongering, and it certainly will not stop the crime in Buckhead. What's going to stop the crime is the establishment of the Buckhead City Police Department.
That's
we
right.
plan on having 300 police officers for a prolonged period of time. There are only 82 cops on the beat in Buckhead right now, the square footage of San Francisco that has 2,000
wow.
cops. So one of the things we're positive of is we're going to put the smackdown on crime once and for all, and we're going to make Buckhead a great place to live again, where you can go to the mall and not get shot taking a jog. This poor woman, Eliana Elovich, she's a saint. She's so courageous. She's a pediatric nurse, yeah. and they punched her in the face, and the guy was out on three different batteries.
It's Bill White, a good friend of me and Bernie.
Listen, if you want to play the race card game, CNN, it works both ways.
Yes, no question.
The perps are black. The victims are all white. That's a fact. I mean, you take it from there.
We are quick to point that stuff out. Okay, we got Bo Dietl live in studio. He's coming up next. He's always great. And a couple more guests along the way. Bo Dietl live in studio with Bernie and Sid is coming up next.
Mike Slater in San Diego, filling in for Bill O'Reilly. Stand by for the O'Reilly Update Morning Edition. But first, a word.
As you know, Joe Biden won the election, and the economic future in the country is a bit cloudy. That's why I am recommending you diversify with gold and silver. And the only company I trust is American Hartford Gold. Please call them right now. Tell them Bill O'Reilly sent you, and they'll give you up to $1,500 of free silver on your first order. Since I have been recommending American Hartford Gold, gold itself is up 40%, silver up 60%. So don't wait. Call 877-444-GOLD, 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532.
Mike Slater, filling in for Bill O'Reilly. On this Tuesday morning, I'm thinking about a napkin. March 23rd, 2020, there was a Delta Airlines pilot who was given his mission, fly from Minneapolis to VCV. VCV, what airport code is VCV? He had to look it up. Victorville. It's in the middle of the desert in California. Victorville. This was right when the pandemic was beginning to sink in, and people were talking about a two-week lockdown. So he landed at this airport, and there were just Delta airplanes as far as the eye could see. He said it looked like an optical illusion, and all he could think about were the jobs lost and the families who couldn't see each other. He said it was chilling, apocalyptic, surreal. He parked his plane to begin a 14-day stretch in Victorville. 14 days, he thought. And he pulled out a tiny cocktail napkin and wrote a note on it. 435 days later, another pilot landed in Victorville and began his mission to get this plane up flying again, reunite those families. As he was checking everything to make sure everything was working, he pulled down a open tray table in the cockpit and a napkin fell out. Hey, pilots, it's March 23rd. Very chilling to see so much of our fleet here in the desert. If you're here to pick it up, it must be light at the end of the tunnel. Have a safe flight bringing it out of storage. We've reached the light. No more tunnel. Far longer than we hoped and far longer than it needed to be, but it's over. And I hope you're having a safe flight out of storage and back to flying again. More after this.
As you know, Joe Biden won the election, and the economic future in the country is a bit cloudy. That's why I am recommending you diversify with gold and silver. And the only company I trust is American Hartford Gold. Please call them right now. Tell them Bill O'Reilly sent you, and they'll give you up to $1,500 of free silver on your first order. Since I have been recommending American Hartford Gold, gold itself is up 40%, silver up 60%. So don't wait. Call 877-444-GOLD. 877-444-GOLD gold or text gold to 65532.
I'm Mike Slater, mikeslater.locals.com. This has been the O'Reilly Update Morning Edition. We'll see you tomorrow.
Stay informed all day on 77 WABC. Bernie and Sid in the Morning now. Brian Kilmeade next at 10.
Are you in or are you out?
On 77 WABC.
7:25 on Tuesday morning. Time to kick some ass. That's what Bo Dietl does. He kicks ass. He doesn't mess around. There's no, you know, icing. There's no pretty stuff. There's no dolls. He comes out here and tells it the way it is. And it's been another really violent weekend here in New York. The mayor making all kinds of excuses for what's going on in Washington Square Park. So with that said, here he is, hero cop for the better part of three decades, big time actor, all kidding aside, Wolf of Wall Street, The Irishman, Goodfellas, Gravesend, Godfather of Harlem. He does it all. And most importantly, for nearly three decades, a dear friend of both me and Bernard, the great Bo Dietl. Bo, Washington Square Park. Which one of these candidates is going to get that place back to a sense of sanity?
First of all, I'm very happy to be in studio with my two favorite guys.
That's great.
Wherever I am, I listen to you guys on my app, and I do love the music. Music is very important in the morning.
Thank you, Bo.
And I do love your selections. Okay.
Thank you. You look great.
Well, let's get to Washington Square Park. Now, it just happens, you know, I'm in the private security business and all that kind of stuff. We've been called upon to put armed guys out in front of buildings around the park. People are scared. They cannot come out of their house. They're scared. And you know what's going on? People don't realize it's a riot situation. When the cops come in there, they throw things at them. They spit on them. You know what the cops do? They just walk out. They let openly shooting of drugs, robberies in there, sexual assaults. It's like that place in Seattle, that area in Seattle.
Oh, the zone, yes.
That zone. That's exactly what it is. In reality, we have to face, like I tell, everybody says, why do you like Eric Adams? Well, look at this way. If he turns out to be a Joe Biden, I'm going to be really, really pissed. But the reality is, I told him there's three issues. Crime, crime, crime. The first issue is we have to dissect about the cops out there, what they can do, what they can't do. You know, I was on the force for 15, 16 years. I never killed anybody. I arrested at least 2,000 felons. Wow. People don't realize one thing. You can't arrest somebody, and it's not going to be pretty. So if they try to arrest somebody in Washington Square Park, one, they dismantle the headlock, not chokehold. There is a difference between a headlock and a chokehold. I told Eric Adams, you become the mayor. I said, I'll go to city council. You can line up six guys as old as I am. I'll take each one down with a headlock. I'll put a $500,000 bond. Nobody's going to die. We got to make the rules and make the rules right. You can't get on top of someone's chest. What a load of bullcrap. Did you ever try to lock somebody up? I have locked up thousands of people. They don't go. It doesn't look fine. So if you're handcuffing the cops from touching these people when you try, so you take your gun out, you're under arrest, the guy laughs at you, sticking up your butt, right? What do you do next? You can't grab him. I'm a little guy. I was 5'8" when I came on the force. Guy 6'2", 3". How do I take him down? Shoot him? No, I didn't shoot him. I got him in a headlock. We got to put the rules of the road down here. Headlocks don't kill people. Chokehold, like what happened in the Bronx with Baez, when they put the nightstick on the guy's throat and he choked him to death and that cop went to jail for it. That was a chokehold. Again, they keep bringing up.
What about Eric Garner?
The Eric Garner case they keep bringing up. And that was a thing when the PBA should have jumped out and explained one thing. He died of a heart attack. I talked to Biden. He had massive diabetes. He had massive heart disease. His daughter died at 20-something years old, heart disease. My problem is, first of all, the cops, this is where we go. Shouldn't have been there with the cigarette crap. That's one thing. We have to take the cops and make them do their job. Big thing is this poor woman that got killed by one of the scooters. You go around New York City, Every motorcycle doesn't have a license plate. Nobody's enforcing it. This is the problem. When you have these motor scooters, motorcycles doing 60 miles an hour on that street, nobody's stopping. Cops ain't stopping. You got to get the quality of life stuff down. It starts from there, and then we could go at it. We cannot have cops that are going to respond to a riot situation like what's going on in Washington Square Park and not be able to effect an arrest. All they're doing is looking over their shoulder because there's some moron with a camera with their iPhone. I'll be very honest with you. If I was a cop today, I would stick a lot of those iPhones somewhere.
There was a video yesterday, a kid in Ocean City, Maryland. He was arrested on the boardwalk. He was getting arrested for vaping. And he clearly had his hands up in the air, all right? It looks like a harmless kid. And they played the video. I saw it on Channel 5. I showed it to Sid yesterday at 9:30. They have his hands up in the air. They say stop. He puts his left hand down clearly behind his back to reach into the backpack, and that's when they tased him. But even though that was on the screen, on the video, on Channel 5, they said he had his hands up, and they just tased him like it never happened. It's right in front of your face.
That would be good for about $50,000 lawsuit, civil lawsuit, because that's what they're doing. I think it's up to about $350 million last year on suits against cops. This is the problem. Also, Black Lives Matter. My buddies from Black Lives Matter, that young lady that bought all those nice houses and all that, the families of Eric Gardner, the families of Brown, they're very upset. They're not sharing that $100 million. Why? Because this is all a big hogwash. And in reality, what we have to do, is we have to talk to the people of our community. If you're going to be the next mayor, get the community behind you. Ask them, you want to dismantle the cops? 90% of them will say, no. You guys had that old gentleman on there from the Bronx who said he was scared to come out of his house a few couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. If he sees a police car, he'll come out of his house. If he doesn't, he's scared of all these little gangbangs. Let's get to the issue. Let's stop fogging the crap up. And if Eric Adams becomes the mayor, I will call upon him to do the job, support the good cops that are out there, but give them the opportunity to use necessary and reasonable force affecting arrest. They don't have to stand there in a police car and get spat upon. Next, they'll be urinating on cops throwing bags of urination.
They probably do.
And you want to know something? It probably happens, but it doesn't make the news media.
No.
This is
no.
And there's Wiley Whiplash. What's her name?
Wiley.
Whoa.
Aya Wiley.
Whoa, that face can stop a clock. But my point is, just imagine this thing. Now, you know, she didn't mention about she was doing the defense work for correctional officers beating people up in jail, allegedly, and she was defending them. She's on all sides of the spectrum on that. All she is a progressive liar like the rest of them. All these progressives are two shades. Lie. Whatever they conform to what they want, that's what they do. Well,
now, she doesn't want the police to have guns.
Right. That's one of her issues. So right now, Bo, as we brace for what should be a very violent summer, I expect this summer to be very, very violent. Right? It's got to be one of the toughest jobs in this city has to be police commissioner. We were both not big fans of James O'Neill. Neither one of us are big fans of Dermot Shea. But the truth is, can these guys really even do their jobs based upon de Blasio and the rules that are set forth in this city?
Well, I got to give Dermot Shea a little bit. At least he comes out publicly and he brings the attention to the DAs. And the other side of it, like I tell Eric Adams and I'll tell any candidate for mayor, you've got to start. We got to put the pressure on the Assembly and this New York State Senate to revamp this bail reform crap. Because you have every felon is on the street, you lock them up with a gun, you lock them up for a robbery with a weapon, and there's no bail. So if you don't stop that, the same critters and culprits are all running around the streets committing felony after felony. It's a joke. Oh, lock me up. I'll beat you out of the station house. Dickhead, right?
It's happening in every city, in Democrat city in the nation. Every single city. This is the major issue of our time right now is crime in the cities, period. Not just the inner city. I just did a story about a Bill White and Buckhead. A Buckhead wants to secede from the city of Atlanta because of the crime. It's out of control.
It's something, again, Anybody wants to be mayor here, like I say, it's the three reasons. Crime, crime, and crime. If you don't take care of that, your real estate's going in the toilet bowl, people are moving out, your tax revenues are going down the drain. You know, it's a very difficult thing when you run for mayor or any political office. When I ran, they came after me, I owed taxes. I owed nothing. First, the Daily News, that piece of garbage
on
paper.
Easter Sunday.
I
remember.
My picture,
I was in Boston. I
Beau
saw it.
Owes $500K. You know what the truth was? It was $100,000 to hit penalties and interest, and then I ended up paying them $250,000. I paid them $50,000 a month, and it was almost gone. But yet the warrant was still in the, on the books,
yeah.
And I tried to say what it was. Nobody answered, but Beau owes $500,000 Easter Sunday, the front page of the Daily News. That's why no one should read that douche page.
Yeah, let me ask one quick question.
Yes, sir.
And a quick answer, which is, if you were a police officer today, would you get out of the car and be proactive, or would you stay in the car and wait until something really bad happened and were only forced to get out of it?
You know, I'm very sorry to say I'd get out of the car.
You would.
And I would be, hold on. And I probably would be fired from the police department.
Right.
And I'm going to be very honest with you. I could not stand to see someone be assaulted or robbed and not me taking action. And you want to know something? Police officers, listen to your station here. You got to do your job. I will try in any way. If you get in any kind of trouble, I'll try to help you. But you got to do your job. You know who says that? Is our friend. Our friend at 1 o'clock. He talks about
Greg Kelly.
Oh, Greg Kelly's very upset.
We took issue with him on that.
Yeah. Well, you want to know something? You just said something. And I said what I would do. That's Beau Dietl. But you know what? You would also, and you would. If we were partners out there, and we're riding around in a car, we see these little scumbags reacting and hassling people, we wouldn't get out of the car.
No, we get out of the car.
You know damn well we would get out of the car. That's why you become a cop, is to help people. That's why I became a cop.
Beau Dietl is a true hero.
Great cop. Now, before you leave us, which was another amazing segment, and it's great to see you. You look great in person. Give us the charity work you're doing this morning as well.
Yeah, well, Sean Patrick McCarthy, one of your guys.
Maloney.
And he's over there in Fort Hamilton. He's the head of security. They put together this thing called U.S. Vet Row, ROW.org. There's a Marines and Special Forces guys are rowing across the Atlantic to bring the attention to PTSD and to the mental health problems of our veteran. It's a great cause, and anybody wants to contribute, they contribute for other garbage. This is really good.
It ain't Maloney. I thought you were talking about somebody else. Sean Patrick McCarthy.
Yeah, Sean Patrick McCarthy.
Right.
And again, it's usvetrow.org. It's a good charity, and let's help our veterans. You know, I had a big debate here the other night. I jumped in here on Rita Gosby's show, and I was defending the flag, because we love the flag, like you have a flag here. And I was saying, you know, a Memorial Day, no one was talking about it, but imagine being a family of someone sitting there with three limbs gone that defended that flag, and you're saying that you get disgusted when you see the flag. How dare anyone talk against that flag?
Mm-hmm.
Our soldiers died, gave up their lives for that flag, and we should honor that flag. And any of these garbage cans that don't honor that gray flag, they can kiss Beau's butt.
There you have it. Perfect ending to that. Beau Dietl, as always.
Beau Dietl!
Every Tuesday morning at 7:25. Beau, thank you. Great job. Still to come. Nassau County Executive Laura Curran. She wants to talk about the Islanders. What's going on along? That's coming up at 8:40. Joyce Kaupman coming up at 9:05. But more business to do before that.
You know, traffic and sports is coming up. But right now it's time for the 77 WABC Clip of the Day. Listen to the rundown with Lydia Serrano, weekday afternoons at 4 o'clock. Lydia says the kids ain't all right.
I also believe that an even bigger threat is what's going on in our school system. The brainwashing that our kids are undergoing regarding critical race theory. And when you have children coming home and they're saying, well, Mom, I'm white, so I must be an oppressor. Or this kid's black, so he's being oppressed. And they're perpetuating this victim mentality. And then you have a Governor Cuomo, who says we're at 69.9% and we just need 0.1%, and then everybody can be without masks, except for the kids in schools. So you tell me how that makes sense.
This is Sid on Sports.
Oh, my goodness!
on 77 WABC.
Big game in Brooklyn tonight. The Nets, they had a commanding 2-0 lead over Milwaukee. All of a sudden, that series has been reduced to a best of three. It's now 2-2 on the Nets. We'll be missing two major superstars tonight. James Harden still out. Kyrie Irving suffered a serious ankle injury first quarter of game four. He's going to be out. They're down to just Kevin Durant. Here's Steve Nash on the MASH unit that is now the Brooklyn Nets.
No update on James. But Kai had an MRI, sprained ankle, and is out tomorrow.
2-2 again tonight, game five from Brooklyn. Last night, Eastern Conference, the Hawks beat the 76ers 103-100. That series is now 2-2. Out west, it was the Clippers over the Jazz, 118-104. That series is now 2-2. The winner will take on the Phoenix Suns. The Islanders back on the ice tonight. They win game one over the Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning. Have a chance to come home with a commanding 2-0 lead. Game two tonight, the Islanders and the Lightning. The Rangers have hired a head coach, Gerard Gallant. Last we saw of him, he was winning awards as the coach of the Vegas Golden Knights back in 2018. He's also coached in Columbus and Florida. Gerard Gallant, hired by Ranger GM Chris Drury as the next head coach of the Rangers. The Mets, oh, what a great story they've been. They went again last night, beat the Cubbies in Queens, 5-2. Dominic Smith, his fifth home run of the year. But the big story was starter David Peterson, six scoreless innings. He earns his second win of the year. Here was Peterson after the win.
That's all you can do is throw one at a time. And so I think when you simplify it down to that and really focus on each pitch and executing that pitch, the results will come.
Mets improved to 33-25, four-game lead over Joe Girardi's Philadelphia Phillies, five-and-a-half-game lead over the Braves. The Yankees were off last night but lost a half game in the standings. They're now nine back of Tampa Bay in fourth place, 33-32. They're in Toronto for the Blue Jays later on tonight. Sports brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Borders. Check them out, peerlessborders.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best borders. With sports, I'm Sid.
This is Bernie and Sid in the Morning on 77 WABC.
Don't give up on us, baby. Don't make that wrong seem right. The future isn't just one night. It's written in the moonlight. Painted on the stars.
All right, Bernie, for the $64,000, the guy singing this song played what very famous television cop?
I'll tell you what, it wasn't Rambo.
No, it wasn't Rambo.
A cop.
Yeah, seriously. And a very macho cop.
Well, he was definitely acting. That's for damn sure.
Hey, look, Frisco, Jack Wagner sang songs like that when he was on GH.
I have no idea. I don't even know who this
His name is David Soul. And he actually played Hutch.
Oh, Starsky and Hutch.
Very good.
Yes, yes.
Starsky and Hutch.
I saw something last week, the homoerotic overtones of Starsky and Hutch.
What do they mean by that?
I guess they were too chummy-chummy or something
they
like that.
They were kind of chummy-chummy. And I believe in real life, Paul Michael Glazer, who played Starsky, didn't he end up with AIDS, I think, or something? I think he did,
well,
but anyway.
Now they're Starsky and Hutch are chubby. They're more
I know.
Husky and starch.
I know. But they were, he was the brunette. You had Starsky and David Soul. The blonde was Hutch, and that was a big deal. By the way,
that's funny, man. That's
that is funny.
Funny.
If you're in Tenafly, New Jersey today, you can stop by the flagpole. They're going to raise the pride, the gay pride flag today, and it's going to be a live shooting of Real Housewives of New Jersey. So Dolores and Frank and Margaret and all of them, Joe Beningo, they're all going to be out there today. So if you love that show, you want to meet your favorite TV stars, check them out live in Tenafly, New Jersey,
bro,
later on this afternoon.
Bro. Well, if they ever have...
That's the wrong Beningo.
bro. If they ever have a Gay Pride Day holiday,
yeah,
it'll never make it into this Randolph Middle School...
No.
Holiday list.
I wonder if they would change it for that, though.
Yeah, they might. Well, they didn't for the whole thing started because this is Randolph, New Jersey, because they changed Columbus Day to Indigenous Peoples Day. So they just scrapped Indigenous Peoples Day. So chances are they wouldn't. Now it's just a day off. But in the meantime, by canceling Columbus Day, with the Indigenous Peoples Day kerfuffle, they ended up canceling Martin Luther King Day. And, of course, they canceled Memorial Day. They canceled Veterans Day, just to name a couple. Thanksgiving, all those things.
What about Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur,
stupid
Christmas?
Christmas, all of them.
Really?
You name it, it's just day off. Day off. That's all they put on the can. This is a superintendent, Jen Fano. Superintendent Jen Fano out there in Randolph, New Jersey. A couple of parents complained. Listen to these guys.
I think it's social media combined with political ideologies, and people that are in positions of perceived power are pushing their personal agendas instead of really doing what they're entrusted to do.
This radical theme that we've seen for the last 12 months occur across the country is coming to your neighborhood soon.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's here, bro. It is here.
Jeez.
Look, it's bad. Down in Virginia, this woman shows up. She's on the school board. She's talking to a bunch of high school kids. She's wearing a hijab, and she's talking at their high school graduation commencement, right?
Oh, God, I saw this on Greg Kelly last night. I wanted to hurt somebody.
Take a listen.
The world sees the accolade, the diploma, the fruit of all your years. Yet be reminded of the details of your struggle. Recuerden la lucha y que ustedes ya la vencieron. تذكروا النضال والجهاد التي الذي قدمتموه لتأتوا هنا.
Did she say jihad?
Yeah, she said jihad.
No, she didn't.
She's invoking a jihad. Hey, no, listen.
You know the worst part about that thing is that lady said that at the high school. No one said a word about it, and she says jihad. She's literally a stone's throw away from the Pentagon, where last I checked, many people died on 9/11. That was the worst part of that story.
And not only that, though, she's not far from the Capitol building in Washington, D.C.
Right.
And that's where people like her are actually in office. People like Omar and the rest of them, the Tlaib and all these nutcakes, they're in office and they feel exactly the same way she does.
Yes, and Greg Kelly made this point last night. And again, he's on 1 to 3 weekdays on this station, but he's really good on television, 7 o'clock at night. So was Grant Stinchfield, but he goes up against Tucker Carlson, so good luck there.
Sorry.
He made a very good point. This girl did look an awful lot like AOC.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Take that hijab off. She looked like AOC.
Well, yeah, she looked like AOC. She looked like
Sounded
Omar,
like her.
You know, with the hijab. Anyway, you heard Tom Hanks. I think Bill O'Reilly talked about Tom Hanks first.
We brought him up actually yesterday.
Brought him up. You brought him up. He was pandering. We should pay more attention to the Tulsa massacre, blah, blah, blah. Like we didn't pay enough attention to it last week. We did. And we should. And we did. But he was, of course, had to write an essay in the New York Times. So they came out after Tom Hanks, and they said, listen, bro, you glorified a lot of white people in movies. You shouldn't be anybody to talk. In fact, in one movie, you played a Confederate soldier, bro. So they're actually coming after Tom Hanks.
Unreal.
The alligator is now is eating him.
Wake up! We made that point a couple of days ago with Bill O'Reilly. That was we were bashing Biden for not paying tribute to the soldiers after D-Day. And we made the point that Tom Hanks, who was now part of the cancel culture, one of his best roles, and he won Oscars for Forrest Gump and Philadelphia, was Saving Private Ryan, where he played a heroic soldier storming the beaches of Normandy.
They actually wrote an article in NPR. Tom Hanks, we want to cancel Tom Hanks. I forget what the headline was, but that was the essence of it. And also, this Lin-Manuel Miranda, we mentioned this yesterday. I took my boys, Hector and Isaiah, to the parade. On Sunday, the Puerto Rican Day Parade. They're both Puerto Rican and Dominican. Anyway, he made this movie, In the Heights, did Lin-Manuel Miranda. Well, apparently there are not enough black people in the movie, and Lin-Manuel Miranda is actually apologizing for it. Now, listen, they had one of the producers of the movie was on a podcast, and they put him on the spot, and this guy was squirming. He's talking to some black lady. Take a listen.
Most of your principal actors were light-skinned or white-passing Latinx people. What are your thoughts on the lack of black Latinx people represented in your film?
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was something we talked about, and I needed to be educated about, of course. In the end, you know, when we were looking at the cast, we tried to get the people who were best for those roles, and that specific. And we saw a lot of people like Daphne or Dasha. But I hear you on, trying to fill those cast members with darker skin. I think that's a really good conversation to have.
Shut up!
Hey,
how about we just got the best actors? We didn't care if they were Latino or black or Jewish.
Or they were Latino because the Heights was Latino.
Well, there were some blacks in the Heights.
Well,
too,
that's true.
But
this was made a few years ago, and look, West Side Story.
Yes.
You want to go after the people who made West Side Story? Just relax.
I mean, calm down.
D-Day, they were all white guys. Yeah, because they were all white guys that stormed the beach. What do you want from me?
They got hairy legs.
I mean, they should have allowed maybe some blacks to participate in the invasion, but they weren't. The fact is, they were not there.
They made that terrible movie, Pearl Harbor, which was awful, with Ben Affleck, who you can see kissing J-Lo today. So the idea that that's platonic is now over because they're kissing in today's New York Post.
Aha, A-Rod.
Yeah, see ya. But in that movie, it was him and Kate Beckinsale. They did have a black guy in there. He was the cook, and that was Cuba Gooding Jr. in the Pearl Harbor movie, which was terrible.
Well, you know, on those ships, sadly, the blacks were discriminated against. I'm not. Yeah. That's a fact. You know, you can't shy away from that. Blacks wanted to fight. They did fight in World War II, in World War I, but we actually sent them to the Pershing. Sent them to the French. They said, "Oh, you go fight with the French." Believe it or not. They were treated horribly. I'm not going to shy away from that.
You taught me about all that. I knew nothing about that. And you've taught me many things over the years, to be honest, and to give you credit. But you were the one who really taught me about the Tuskegee Airmen and what they did and how brave.
We had one of them on, actually.
Yes, yeah. He was 100 years old, that guy.
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly. No, it was terrible, terrible episode, but we've come a long way, folks.
We have. We have a couple of great guests still to come. Laura Curran, who is the New York, the Nassau County executive that is a Big Islander fan, a big fan of Bernie and Sid.
And a great county executive.
She is, right?
I mean, I've said that unsolicited on many occasions.
You have. You love her.
She was great during the pandemic and continues to be so.
She's going to join us live at 8:40 as the excitement builds for the hockey team and Long Island in general. 9:05, we'll go down to Fort Lauderdale. Joyce Kaufman, WFTL, terrific talk show host. And then, of course, at 9:40, your chance to win a $100 gift card and a WABC Barry House coffee mug, courtesy of Pete Morgan and Peerless Borders. We call that Pete Bernie. Lots of exciting stuff still to come. This is the Tuesday edition of Bernie and Sid.
Kamala Harris is the best-looking attorney general in the country.
You with the same. Don't be discouraged, don't realize it. Hard to take courage in a world full of people. You can lose sight of it all in the dark. There's no inside you make you feel so small. But I see your true colors.
So, Bern, you remember a couple of years ago, the same summer that you and I had that great event, at the time it was called MCU Ballpark. It's now called Maimonides Ballpark. Great job by Heshy Augenbaum, Michael Brincott, all those guys.
Was it called Luna Park at one point?
No, Luna Park is a part of Coney Island where the amusement park is. That's still the case. Right. It's still Luna Park.
Oh, right.
That's still Luna Park. But the actual baseball stadium, we had that great game.
I remember it. It was one of the highlights of my summer that summer.
Me
really,
too.
Really, it was a lot of fun.
It was a great time. Long story short, I was putting on another game, and we were going to play the Knights of Columbus, I think. I don't even remember. From Howard Beach. So you may remember two gentlemen came into our studio one day, the old address, and they brought all kinds of donuts and bread and two sweet guys, and we were raising money for this day camp that they had hours and hours away from the city up in Connecticut. And one of those guys, a ball guy named Steve Sergiovanni, he came in. You loved him. You loved the guy, Howard Beach, brought in all these nice things. We're going to put the game on. He's now running for city council in Queens. I don't know if that's Eric Ulrich's seat. It may be. It may be Ulrich's seat. But it's Steve Sergiovanni. He's a great guy. LaSalle Military Academy guy. He's been traveling all over with Curtis Sliwa, trying to help Curtis win his event. Curtis loves him. So, folks, go out and vote, I should say, for Steve Sergiovanni for city council in Queens coming up. He is a great guy, great New Yorker. Sweetheart, and the right man for the job.
Sturge. He's got my backing.
There you go.
Damn sure. Hey, listen, somebody who doesn't, of course, is, the imbecile in chief over there. He's going to be tomorrow. He's going to be tomorrow with Vladimir Putin. And we talked about it earlier. He's not going to have a post-meeting a press conference, as is traditional. Because they know he cannot handle it. He can't handle it.
Give me a little break here.
He's giving away the store while he's over there. I mean, they're all patting him on the back. By the way, it's embarrassing. A couple of times he was led away by Jill. He was laughed at by a round table of leaders when he tried to correct Boris Johnson, incorrectly correcting Boris Johnson. It's actually, they openly laughed at him, and they laughed at him when Jill dragged him away. Just totally, completely embarrassing. And then at one point, by the way, the post-conference, my analogy, if him standing next to Vladimir Putin, who's an ex-KGB guy, it would be like Mr. Magoo standing next to Darth Vader. It just the optics would be horrible, and the results would be horrible.
Right.
Look, so yesterday they asked him. Remember, he was talking tough. Yeah, he told, I think, one of these fake news guys, hey, Putin's a killer, and I don't like him.
Please.
Well, now in advance of the meeting, somebody said, well, hey, Joe, do you stand by this? Putin's a killer. Well, listen to this.
Is that still your belief, sir, that he is a killer?
Answer the first question. I'm laughing too. They actually. Well, look. I mean, he has made clear that. The answer is, I believe he is in the past essentially acknowledged that he was. There are certain things that he would do or did do.
We did not edit that. That's unbelievable.
There's no way they played that on MSNBC or CNN.
So he's talking so tough. Putin's a killer. And now he's like, oh, God, what am I going to say now? Oh, and he just blanked out for what? I think that was 10 seconds. Wow. And he's saying that, well, he is calling Russia a threat and that China, quote unquote, presents challenges. And again, talking about the COVID origins, they've signed the WHO to look into it. The same WHO that who investigated was a farce. They're in China's pocket. We know that. This was Biden yesterday, juxtaposed with Pompeo on the same day yesterday. Take a listen to this.
We haven't had access to the laboratories to determine whether or not I have not reached a conclusion because our intelligence community is not certain yet whether or not this was a consequence of. From the marketplace of a bat, or whether it was
still saying that
an experiment gone awry in a laboratory.
There is an enormous amount of evidence that there was a leak from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. There's a pile of evidence 100 feet high.
I mean, come on, wake up! Look, why is everybody so afraid and so
I don't know.
I mean, they
wake up.
China did something that was. They perpetrated an atrocity on the globe.
Right.
Whether or not the virus originated in the lab, they still allowed it to travel around the globe. Let's not forget
these
that.
These people are sick.
And you should be pissed.
We should be pissed.
Right.
All of these people, the G7 people, all their economies were adverse. They were affected horribly. England just extended their lockdowns till the middle of July. Believe it or not.
It's funny you mention that because I think Juliet got a little upset with me this morning. Because she was doing the story on the Delta variant, and I started rolling my eyes. So she finishes the story. I'm sitting there getting ready to do sports with her and Frank. And she said, hey, before we get to sports, I noticed you were rolling your eyes. I said, I don't want to hear about this stuff anymore. No. I don't want to hear about it. She goes, well, people are dying. It's very, very sad. I'm like, stop. Here's stop. Every day's a new variant. Every day's another. Well, they're shutting down in London. What does that mean? We shut down
that's
in New
life.
York for 16 months and more people died from that than the actual virus.
The lockdowns did not work, idiots.
And
by the way, the vaccine covers this variant.
Correct.
So the vaccine covers everything. Thank you, Donald Trump. The vaccine covers it. Bottom line, that's all you need to know.
But stop reporting on all this nonsense. Every day's a new variant. It's almost like, I'm being serious, and I know London's shutting down. Who cares? It's almost like they got to keep this thing going, and people really appreciate the fear. I don't want to hear about it anymore.
Who cares?
I want to move on with life and get back to normal. Some stupid JetBlue variant, I don't care. Delta, excuse me.
I love the drops. who cares? Look, speaking of Donald Trump, something has gone viral. It's Kamala down in Guatemala, and it's also Trump saying something right after it. I'm not sure why it's gone viral, but I'll play it and ask you. Play it, Matt Meany.
Do not come. Do not come.
I'm going to come.
I don't quite get that, but it went viral, so I played it for you folks. You people figure it out. What do I know? Hey, look, this girl, she graduated from Columbia University, and she's a defector from North Korea. Her name is Yauna Park. And, well, she said that that Columbia University, the political correctness is even North Korea is not this nuts, is what she said. That's a quote. She said, I expected that I was paying this fortune, all this time and energy to learn how to think, but they are forcing you to think the way they want you to think. I realized, wow, this is insane. I thought America was different, but I saw so many similarities to what I saw in North Korea that I started worrying. She couldn't believe that she would be asked to do this much censoring of herself at a university in the United States of America.
Wow.
You know, in other words, many, many kids go to college. My kids experienced the same thing. They had to shut up if they wanted good grades. It was really bad. They were asking me, what should I do? She said she fled when she was 13 from North Korea. She went to China. They actually sold her into sex slavery.
Oh, my God.
Then she crossed the Gobi Desert to get out. She says, I literally crossed the Gobi Desert to be free, and I realized in America, I'm not free. So she talks about every problem, they explained, is because of white men. All these trigger warnings and safe spaces, white men. And I would tell all these people, I mean, white men, I mean, if you want to bring this up, if you want to go there with white men, it was the scientific revolution that we had, the Enlightenment, the Industrial Revolution, the combustible engine, the steam engine, the car, electricity. You want to talk about white men? You want to talk about why we have a great quality of life? I mean, yeah, white men were not perfect, but a lot of white men died to try to end slavery. Hundreds of thousands of white men died.
Of course.
So let's not forget that, ladies and gentlemen, while we're doing this. Now, this Brown University professor, his name is Glenn Lowry. I played him once before, but he tweeted himself out. He was talking to his own school, Professor Glenn Lowry, a black man at Brown University, which is an Ivy League school, right?
It is, yes.
So this is Glenn Lowry talking about affirmative action. Take a listen to this guy.
If our kids are testing poorly, I'm talking about black kids, it's not because the test is biased against them. It's because they do not know the material. If a poor Asian kid living in a three-room apartment with four siblings can ace the test, our kids can do it too. Anybody who doesn't think so is a racist. They have the racism of low expectations about black people. They write us off. They think we are defeated by history. They patronize us, presuming that we can't actually perform. Yes, we can't, becomes their mantra. But black Americans can perform. We just need to do the work, and we don't have to do it by ourselves. Give us an opportunity to confront the deficits and redress them, maintaining a level playing field. Do not lower the bar for us.
Not for nothing, but I've been saying that for years,
well,
and he's absolutely right.
Carranza and de Blasio and all these guys practice that daily here.
Get rid of advanced math, get rid of the standardized test because blacks can't pass it. Excuse me? Do you realize how racist that sounds?
Very.
That's absolutely unbelievable.
That would be like saying white guys can't play basketball.
Well,
kind of the same thing.
Look, this guy Lowry, he did a brief clip at the end of his speech. Listen to this.
And this, no, it's not equality, it's equity, bunk, is a surrender in the face of the problem that we actually confront. The problem is to develop black people so that proportionately more of us exhibit the mastery requisite to being successful in these competitive venues.
Just give them the tools and don't, the fatherlessness, the culture, the emphasis on drugs and guns and thuggery and all that stuff. Wipe that away. Wipe it away and maybe we'll get better results because we used to get better results.
I know.
Jumaane Williams passed a standardized test to get into one of these elite high schools. But today, things are a little different.
Yeah.
A little different.
They're a lot different. One other story I do want to get to here that we covered at the very top of today's program, which was really magnificent, talking about, back to Joe Biden for a second, was the can of whoop-ass that Bibi Netanyahu opened up on him on his exit speech Sunday night at the Knesset when the United States went to him. It kind of like this argument I had with a friend a couple of weeks ago. What happened here stays here. No, it doesn't. Keep this quiet. And Netanyahu said, well, I'm not going to do that anymore. And he really, really leveled Joe Biden.
To his credit. And that's why I love Bibi Netanyahu. I know a lot of people didn't like me. Rub people the wrong way. I understand that. But what he said was this. a translator. I believe he was speaking in Hebrew.
Yes.
But he said this. The new U.S. administration requested that I save our disagreements on the Iran nuclear deal for behind closed doors. Shh. Don't say anything.
Shh.
Not share them publicly that I'm caving to the Iranians and the squad members. I told him, said Bibi, I told him I won't act that way. And then he went on. This is the damning and the great part. In 1944, at the height of the Holocaust, U.S. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt refused to bomb the railway leading to the extermination camps. As you point out, it was Auschwitz, and refused to bomb the gas chambers, which could have saved millions of our people. We hoped for others to save us, and they did not come. In the face of threat of extermination, we were helpless. And he continued. He says that our voice was not heard among the nations. We had neither a state or an army. But today we do have a voice. We do have a state. And we do have a defensive power. And we're going to speak out, stupid imbecile-in-chief Joe Biden. Don't dare you tell us to shut up and stay quiet behind closed doors while you pull a fast one with regards to the state of death to America, death to Israel, Iran. Good for Bibi Netanyahu. I love that. And I hope the other guy, he's supposedly more off the hook than Bibi.
Bibi, more to the right. Naftali Bennett is the other guy. But as Dov Hyken said yesterday, don't get too comfortable with Naftali just yet, because our friend Bibi could be back.
He only won by one vote.
Right. So that could change quickly. But regardless, that was a great job by Bibi. And Biden needs to be exposed by more people, not just Bernie and Sid and Bibi Netanyahu. We need to find more and more people.
An appeaser.
Yes.
He's the Neville Chamberlain of our time, with Iran, with China, with
Perfect.
Russia, everything.
Perfect.
I got hairy legs.
Neville Chamberlain. Bo Deedle actually came in this morning and said, I miss Charles McCord, and you just mentioned Neville Chamberlain.
What does that mean?
Well, he would talk about Chamberlain all the time, wouldn't he?
I don't recall that.
Yeah, he would evoke his name
in particular.
Yeah.
But Neville Chamberlain was the great appeaser of the 20th century.
Yes,
of course. Once he gave he pledged to defend Czechoslovakia if invaded, and then he said, "Nah, you know what? I have an agreement with Hitler here. He won't do it again. I promise."
Unreal.
Then next thing you know, a year later, he invaded Poland.
8:40, Nassau County exec Laura Curran is going to call in about the New York Islanders. Nicely done here, Meany. Look out, the Isles game 2 tonight in Tampa against the Lightning as they continue their push towards the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah.
Long Island in the house.
Come to Boston for the springtime. I'm staying here with some friends and they've got lots of room. And you can sell your paintings on the sidewalk. Buy a cafe where I hope to be working soon. Please come.
Yes,
to
Joseph
Mahmoud. She said
this song
no.
goes out to you. Check out Joseph 5 o'clock every Saturday night before Cousin Brucey, right here on Talk Radio 77 WABC, part of our amazing weekend programming. Go to WABCradio.com now and register for your chance to win a WABC Barry House coffee mug. Barry House Coffee, proud to be the official coffee sponsor of Bernie and Sid in the morning here on Talk Radio 77 WABC. Have a hot cup of Barry House today and register now, and good luck. So later on time, my daughter Ava, she's a junior in high school. She just got a very, very good SAT number back. I'm not going to go over it on the air, but it was a very good number. And at this point, you can basically go to any college she wants. She wants to go to college in London. That's where we'll be taking her in all likelihood in August to look at a bunch of different schools. And that's where she's going to go. But she's going to be gone for the summer, my daughter. She's 17. She is going to South Carolina with friends of hers to quarantine for about 10 days. And then she's going to a camp in Pennsylvania, where she's going to be a CIT, a counselor in training. So, long story short, she leaves Friday, South Carolina, and I won't see Ava again until probably some visiting day, late July, early August, and that's going to be it for the summer. And then next year at this time, she's going to be gone for the better part of 4 years. So, you remember a couple of years ago, Bernie, when I decided one night, based on her request, really, just have a one-on-one dinner, just me and Ava. Remember that? And you were recommending what I should say to her, and it turned out to be a very funny segment. Jill got involved, and Matt. Do you remember that?
I do. Yeah, I don't think Jill was here, but
no,
yes.
She was. It was at the old, it was
okay,
a couple
fine.
Years ago. So tonight, I've made plans to do it again, just me and Ava. Gabe will be home, and Danielle's working. So just me and Ava, having dinner tonight because she's very emotional about leaving. And I think she's starting to realize that she's leaving for this summer. And next year at this time, she'll be leaving, like I said, for the better part of 4 years. And in all likelihood, be in a completely different country. And she's been really emotional the last month. I mean, really. I miss you. I love you.
A teenage girl?
Yeah, I know. So tonight is dinner. And I'm emotional just thinking about it.
It'll be fine, though. She'll get over it overnight. Virtually.
Will I?
I think so.
I walk by the bedroom, I get upset now.
Look, if she's happy, you're going to be happy. And she will be happy.
Okay.
Bottom line.
So there's no pressure this dinner tonight.
No, it's life. She's going to do a great thing. I mean, she passed the SAT. Look,
well, she's got a great number.
Go to any college. Yeah. I mean, you should be like doing the Irish jig right now.
No.
Whatever you guys do, the Torah.
The horror. The chairs. We're very proud of her, and we're excited for her, and we want her to do well so she can go where she wants. And that is the case, which is terrific, but I think this promises tonight to be a very emotional dinner. Her and I.
Just try to keep it upbeat.
But you know me.
But you brought it up, and you're asking my advice, apparently, or I'm giving it to you, is celebrate. Instead of being more morose and, that type of.
Right.
Be positive. This is great. This is a great time, Ava. This is a fantastic time. I'm having dinner with you. You're going to South Carolina. Mm-hmm. Then you're going. You got a great SAT. This is wonderful.
Wonderful.
Right.
All right. So, and we'll move on. How long into the dinner do I start to hysterically blubber at the table? How long in?
Look, if you do. You don't make a spectacle of yourself.
Well, you know,
in front of your teenage girl. Show some strength.
Bro, do you
remember
the
dad.
Remember the movie Something About Mary when they broke up and Ben Stiller's walking down the street? He's hysterical. That's me. It's not like a little tear jerk. I get like,
what's the matter? You can act like a man.
What's the matter with you? You can act like a man.
There's only a couple of spots in my life where I can act like a man. When it comes to love, certain people, especially my daughter, but certain people, act like a man goes out the window. So, and I'm very okay with that.
Oh, come on. You cried when Penny Marshall died.
Shut up. That was Laverne. What's the matter with you?
All right. So don't say it's when it comes to my kids.
Well, I do. I tend to get emotional about this stuff.
All right.
You're right.
Thank you. Now, listen, a guy who's really not a man, he never was a man. He's a spineless weasel. And good luck tonight with your dinner, by the way.
Thank you.
It's a beautiful thing to be.
I think you should come and
serious.
Just stand outside so I can go out every 5 minutes and talk to you for advice.
Well,
you can sit at the bar, Bern. You're allowed to do that.
Because I'm Irish, right? That's what
No, because you're allowed to do that. Right. I'm just astounded
and
now.
And
you
should wear the Bobby Valentine, like, fake mustache.
By the way, speaking of returning to normal, they resumed visiting inmates in jail.
Oh, really?
And to me, the headline that came out of that story was that there are actually inmates still in jail.
I
thought they let them all out of jail.
And by the way, those inmates that are still in jail, the very few, this is a fact. I happen to have a friend. I have a friend who has a friend who has a friend who has a lot of friends that are in jail. You're not going to believe this. What is the preferred listening for inmates in jails in New York every morning?
Radio-wise?
Yeah.
For inmates?
Yeah.
Well, it's got to be, Larry the alleged rapist.
It's us. It's us.
What's up, fellas?
So we always talk about all these events. Hey, St. Patrick's Day, we'll go to McSorley's. Opening day, we'll go to the bar by Yankee Stadium. You and I, like Johnny Cash, we should go into prison.
We should be doing a remote from Rikers.
We're 100% doing that.
Bernie and Sid from The Rock.
Hey, the inmates love us. I was told this as a fact. They are listening to us right now.
What's up, players?
We should go there. And we have a history ourselves, so.
Yeah.
Not like we're better than they are.
Bitches.
Especially Bernie.
So listen, your boy Schmuck Schumer, he came out yesterday and he was talking about disabled kids and he said this.
They wanted to build a congregate living place for retarded children.
The whole neighborhood was against it. These are harmless kids. They just needed some help.
These retarded kids are harmless.
Them go for retard.
What are you doing with the retarded kids?
Oh, Chuck, no.
Oh, Chuck, what a loser. So he actually he apologized. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to say retarded. What am I supposed to say? So he apologized. Look, also this lady, I think Bo mentioned it earlier, or somebody mentioned it, the lady, the actress in your neighborhood, the Upper West Side, hit by a scooter.
She died?
She's dead.
Lisa Baines.
Yeah, Lisa Baines. She died because around on the streets here, and I even notice on the highways, too, you have these little lowriders.
Yeah.
These cars, they're out of control. Anyway, it was a scooter on the street. This lady came to New York, and she was going somewhere on West 64th Street with her wife. She hadn't been in New York City since the pandemic began.
Oh, my God.
And now she's dead.
They had those other things they drove around the city. They killed that beautiful CBS news lady.
What do you call those things? Oh my goodness. They're not. It's slipping.
They took them off
lime.
The road. They
oh,
put them back.
Goodness. It's not lime. It's another thing, and I cannot think
all right,
of it
so
right
one
now.
Other thing. The sticky controversy that's going on. Jacob deGrom was busted reaching into his
Touching his belt, right. Garrett Cole has come under fire
In fact, Garrett Cole was actually asked, do you use sticky stuff when you pitch? In other words, and they've been doing this, ladies and gentlemen, who are not, you know, tuned into baseball. They've been doing this forever.
Ever.
They use sticky stuff. And some people say it's good because it gives them control of the ball so you don't actually hurt a player.
It's illegal, though. You're not allowed to use
it. Right. But it's part of the game. It's just like it was like the Houston Astros. But what was funny was when they asked Garrett Cole, somebody actually flat out asked him, do you use sticky stuff? And his answer was sort of like when Joe Biden was asked, do you still think Vladimir Putin's a killer? Uh-huh. It was like,
I don't know. I don't know if I don't know quite. I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest. I mean, there are customs and practices that have been passed down from older players to younger players, from the last generation of players to this generation of players. And, you know, I think there are some things that are certainly out of bounds in that regard.
Oh, my God. What a terrible answer. By the way, Cole will pitch tomorrow in Toronto for the Yankees, who start a series against the Blue Jays tonight. Now 9 back of the Tampa Bay Rays.
Oh, that sounds so good. That and the fact that Durant and Kyrie Irving are out.
Durant's playing. Irving and Harden are out.
Oh, yeah. Well,
right. KD's our only hope tonight.
Either 2 out of the 3 are out. And, they lost last night. Oh, they lost 2 days ago.
They lost 2 in a row. And now they're in big trouble. But the Islanders are not in trouble.
That's what I'm talking about.
The puck drops tonight at 8 o'clock in Tampa. The Isles have a chance to take a 2-0 commanding series lead before the series returns to Long Island in a couple of days. And Nassau County exec Laura Curran, who's a huge fan of this show, huge fan, and a huge Islander fan, she's going to join us coming up next.
And I look forward to it. She's been a great county executive. I have to tell you, look, speaking of next, you're coming back with sports, traffic with Joe Nolan, but right now it's time for the 77 WABC Clip of the Day. It is our friend Lydia Serrano, weekday afternoons at 4 o'clock. Lydia says the kids ain't all right.
I also believe that an even bigger threat is what's going on in our school system. The brainwashing that our kids are undergoing regarding critical race theory. And when you have children coming home and they're saying, well, mom, I'm white, so I must be an oppressor. Or this kid's black, so he's being oppressed. And they're perpetuating this victim mentality. And then you have a Governor Cuomo, who says we're at 69.9% and we just need 0.1%. And then everybody can be without masks except for the kids in schools. So you tell me how that makes sense.
This is Sid on Sports.
Oh, my goodness!
On 77 WABC.
What a summer for the New York Mets. Another big win last night. Citi Field in Queens opened the series, beating the Chicago Cubs 5-2. David Peterson, 6 scoreless innings, earned his second win of the year. Dominic Smith provided the offense in his 5th home run of the year. And here was Donna McSmith after last night's Mets win, talking about just how good this baseball team is.
We're a resilient group, and we try to get better every day. We're just trying to improve on an everyday basis, and I mean, just show tonight. We were able to come through with some clutch hits.
The Mets improved to 33-25 right now in first place, enjoying a 4-game lead over Joe Girardi's Philadelphia Phillies. They're 5.5 up on the Braves. The Yankees a day off yesterday, but they lost a half a game in the standings because Tampa Bay won again. The Yanks at 33-32, fourth place now, 9 games behind Tampa Bay. They're in Toronto for the Blue Jays later on tonight. Game 2, Islanders and Tampa Bay. Laura Curran will join us next. The Islanders are up 1-0 in that series. A chance to take a commanding lead. The puck drops 8 p.m. tonight in Tampa Bay. In Brooklyn tonight, the Nets in much need of a win. They were up 2-0 in the series against Milwaukee. Now it's been reduced to a best of 3. It's now 2-2. And the Nets will be without 2 superstars tonight. Neither Kyrie Irving nor James Harden available. That puts all the pressure on Kevin Durant. Here's Durant on the injuries.
To not play because of injuries, I feel more for them than for me. You know, it's got nothing to do with me. I wish my brothers were out there playing. I wish they were healthy. But like you said, that's a part of the game.
Eastern Conference last night, the Hawks beat the Sixers 103-100. That series is 2-2 out west. The Clippers beat the Jazz 118-104. That series is 2-2. The winner will take on the Phoenix Suns. And the Rangers have hired Gerard Gallant, a big-time coach with Columbus, the Panthers, and the Vegas Golden Knights as their next head coach. Sports brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out, peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. Sports, I'm Sid.
77 WABC mobile app. Download it now. 77 WABC.
Every player, unless they're from the same household, has to bring their own tennis balls so that you don't touch other people's tennis balls with your hands. You can kick their balls, but you can't touch them. I'm going to blush. Sorry.
For so long.
Well. Touch your own balls. That's, I mean, you know, it happens. There she is. We're going to talk to Laura Curran here, Nassau County exec, as the Islanders get set for that Game 2 matchup against the defending Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning later on tonight. The puck drops 8 p.m. in Tampa Bay. The Islanders eked out a 2-1 Game 1 win. They've had a great playoff, have the Islanders taking out the Pittsburgh Penguins in the first round, making quick work, 6 games of the Boston Bruins in the second round. And now, once again, a chance to exact revenge against the team that knocked them out last year, Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay went on to win the Stanley Cup. And now the Isles trying to get past them. And if they do, of course, they'd be back in the Stanley Cup Finals for the first time in, almost 40 years. Since those great Islander teams, Bossy and Trottier and Billy Smith and Denny Potvin, Gillies and Nystrom and all those guys won 4 Stanley Cups. So with that said, here she is, big-time Nassau County exec. Huge fans of her here, especially Bernard, Laura Curran. Laura, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Laura.
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're great. It's great to have you on the program today. And before we start talking politics and Long Island and all that stuff, I was so pleased to find out that you wanted to come on and talk about this Islander team because, you know, sports took a bit of a dive last year during the COVID, all the politics, all the pandering going on. Hockey, not really. And the Isles have a chance to do something really, really special here. Lamoriello and Barry Trotz run a great organization. So it's very exciting to hear, Laura. You're very excited about the Islanders.
It's amazing. You know, if you've been watching them, they're just getting better with every single game. The fact that they won on enemy ice to a team that beat them last year in this round of playoffs is really incredible. And if you've been able to go to any of the games at the Coliseum, the energy is, I mean, I've never really felt anything like it. You can just feel it in your soul. It is a soulful thing. And I think with that energy going to the team, that's part of the reason why they're playing so well. Of course, it's practice, it's discipline, it's coaching and all of that. But the other thing that I love about it is gives us a real sense of pride here in Nassau County. You know, this is our team. They are called the Islanders. There's a new arena that's going to be done this fall where there's going to be their permanent home right in Nassau County. So it just gives everyone, especially me, a feeling of hope and a feeling of optimism and something to really get together and cheer for.
Yes, yeah, so Laura Curran, County Executive of Nassau County, my home. And Laura,
yes,
Curran,
you're my person. You're my constituent.
I am indeed. And I will vote for you next time because we'll talk more about the Islanders. But right now, I just want to applaud you for your performance during the pandemic. Your presence was reassuring. It was comforting. And the information was great without preening and all this narcissism that we saw on the part of some other people. But you were fantastic. I have to say that. And we'll talk to you about the kids in schools with the masks and et cetera, et cetera. But right now, back to the Islanders. You have a bet with the mayor of Tampa Bay. Tell us about that bet.
All right, so when we win this round, we get cigars, and I don't know, it's pretty close to Cuba, so we'll see if they're Cuban, and craft beer. And if, okay, so you have to be fair. So if they win, they get Borelli's Pizza, Blue Line Bagels, and Oyster Bay Brewing Company craft beer.
Oh, my God, they win. They get the better end of the deal.
I know.
Here. Yeah, come on. Well, I know this, Laura. I know that you're from Canada. So you do love the sport of hockey. This isn't just some girl from Massapequa who fell in love with Mike Bossy in the 80s. You're a Canadian girl, and you do love hockey. So this enthusiasm, this is born to you. That's your sport.
That's right. My father played hockey, you know, high school and college, and grew up in a Maple Leafs household. But of course, since I moved to the island several decades ago, I have adopted the Islanders as my own.
Oh, is that, you were in Toronto? That's where you grew up?
Yeah, actually, I bounced around a lot as a kid, but my dad was a big Leafs fan. I was born in Ontario.
So you're just a genuine hockey fan to begin with, which is refreshing and not necessarily a lot of people. But out on Long Island, yes, there are. Islander fans are diehard. Back to the pandemic, which I believe is over now. We've reached in New York State, as you know, Laura Kern, you tweeted this out, 70% of the people of adults have been vaccinated, at least one shot. In Nassau County, the number is 77%, and the governor has said we can go back to normal now. What does that mean in practical terms for us in Nassau County and generally speaking, I guess, around the state?
Yeah, I don't want to boast, but the governor said last week when we get to 70% of adults vaccinated, he will lift most restrictions, which is great. And I expect we're going to find out what that means today. I expect, you know, there'll be an announcement. I'm waiting for something. But, you know, I don't want to brag. We got to 70% weeks ago. We're actually a little over 77% today. And that is a credit to our amazing health department, our health commissioner, but also to our residents who understand the importance of freedom. You know, the fact that we can pack the Coliseum with 13,000 fans, the fact that we can go about our business not worried anymore, get our businesses running again, is really amazing.
So it really is. Congratulations, by the way.
Yes, great job. So Bernard, of course, lives on Long Island and loves you. And I know you.
Beautiful Long Beach. Beautiful Long Beach.
Yes,
I love it down there.
Yes, he's a star out there. Me, I live in the city, but I will tell you, Laura, that I just plunked down a lot of money to join a beach club, Atlantic Beach, Catalina Beach Club. So I'll be spending a lot of my weekends now in your part of town in Nassau County. I'm not thrilled
That's
with the traffic.
Awesome.
Well, I know, but the traffic once you get around Kennedy Airport coming from the city to the island gets a bit rough. How can you help me with that?
Well, Bernie, I don't know if you've noticed this, but it seems like people through the pandemic forgot how to drive. They're driving like lunatics, and I'm not sure why that is. Yeah, traffic was bad before, but it kind of was predictable. Now people are just going all over the place. They're making these crazy left-hand turns. They're stopping suddenly. I don't know. People have to learn how to drive again. Because the reason is, part of the reason is, people are excited. They're going out. They're going to the beach. They're doing this. They're doing that. But a lot of people are moving out here. A lot of your neighbors in the city are moving to Nassau County. Housing prices are really high right now. There are bidding wars. But I think people, you know, they get a taste of the beach. We have wonderful schools. We've got a lot going for us here. And I think people are giving the suburbs a new look.
We really do. Laura Curran, Nassau County Executive, wildly successful Nassau County Executive. Laura, you were, there's this issue with kids in schools wearing masks. And your position was, I believe, that parents and educators should make the decision, not the state. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you are correct. I saw how our vaccination rates were going. I saw how our infection rate has been below 5% for a long time now. And I really believe that we've been at the point, and I said this weeks ago, that we're at the point where the guidance has to match the reality on the ground. And when you look at, and I talk to my health commissioner, Larry Eisenstein, about this all the time, we weigh the risks and the benefits. The risks are so low, but the benefits of updating the guidance, loosening the mask restrictions, are so high. And I always say there's always some risk in life. There is no such thing as zero risk. You walk out of your door in the morning, there's a risk. You know, you get in your car, there's a risk. We know that. We calculate risk. We mitigate risks as much as we can. But the risks are so incredibly low that even if it's just a month or a few weeks left in a school year, that is a long time in a child's life.
It is. Laura, I don't know if you know this, but the last time we've had a parade here in New York was when the women's soccer team, Megan Rapinoe's team, won the gold medal. So I'm thinking to myself, So I'm thinking to myself, well, if the Islanders beat the Lightning and go on to win the next round and win the Stanley Cup and enjoy their first Stanley Cup win in nearly 40 years, there's got to be a parade somewhere on Long Island, maybe Uniondale by the Nassau Coliseum. I don't know where you guys are going to do it.
The boardwalk.
Maybe the boardwalk. But if you do that, even though he's not the biggest Islander fan, I want to endorse Bernard McGurk as the Grand Marshal of the Islander Victory Parade. This is coming from Sid. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
I want to endorse Bernie. Can we get that done?
Well, first we have to win.
Yes.
And I will say I am superstitious. So it's always if we win.
I like that.
Now, if we win. There will be something big. There will be something fun. It might begin with the letter P. And if Bernard is interested in playing a leading role or any kind of role, we can absolutely have that conversation.
I would defer to Congressman, former Congressman Peter King, who is a diehard Islanders fan and a champion of the barn itself, the Nassau Coliseum. Hey, Laura, speaking of the barn, the Islanders will be back on Thursday and again on Saturday. Will you be in attendance at either game?
I hope to get some tickets. We'll see. I hear they're really expensive, but I'm going to try to make it. I want to. If not, I will be cheering from a sports bar, cheering from home. But there really is nothing like being there. And the new UBS Arena should be opening soon, which I did a tour of it. It's in Elmont, which I in Bel- by Belmont, and I want to tell everyone that's actually in Nassau County. It's not in Queens. It has 4,000 more seats, but it has that intimate, immediate feel of the Coliseum. So yeah. I'm really excited.
It's going to be beautiful. The Brooklyn thing, the Barclays Center, was a bad watch for a hockey game. Yeah. It was just a bad watch.
Disaster.
Yeah, but this is going to be great, and it's exciting for the people of Long Island. You, as Bernie points out, almost on a daily basis, are tremendous at your job. Your folks out there, your constituents like Bernie, love you. So continued success. Good luck to your Isles later on tonight. I look forward to seeing you at the parade.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you, Laura, very much. You're a breath of fresh air. Laura Curran, County Executive, Nassau County, on the Bernie and Sid Show. Go Islanders. Have a great week. Thank you, Laura.
Tonight's the big game two from Tampa. Again, the puck drops at 8 p.m. Laura was great. We'll go to South Florida coming up in about 13 minutes. Joyce Kalpin, in my opinion, the best talk show host in all of Florida, WFTL 850. What's wrong with kids spending a minute or two before their school day praying? Well, I guess down in Florida, folks think there's a lot wrong with it. We'll talk to Joyce Kalpin. But first, a look back at last week, the national anthem live from the Nassau Coliseum.
Sid in the morning on 77 WABC.
Well, I tried to make it Sunday, but I got so damn depressed.
Eddie Cesari, a name that not all of you know, but Bernie McGurk certainly does. A legendary figure at WFAN who, to this day, runs the board for Boomer and Geo. Our competition, except we're better. He would sing this song every day. Every day. As he smoked cigarettes outside the building, which he didn't want his wife to know. But Bernie ratted on him a couple of times. So,
what did he do?
He smoked cigarettes outside.
Yes, he did. So did Steve Summers. So did Jody McDonald.
Yes.
All these guys.
So did Beningo.
They ran out. Beningo, too, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really... I mean, if you have to smoke a cigarette like that, like... It's what's the point? You're running up to kill yourself. Oh. You can't really enjoy it. You're like,
well, they used then, you know, for a while there at the end before we left Kaplan Astoria Studios and went down to Hudson Street, they would smoke in the hallways. They opened the door
it's
by the exit sign. It was disgusting.
It's ridiculous.
Oh,
look,
it was
if you're going to smoke, you got to enjoy it.
Agreed.
I mean, if you're going to kill yourself, you might as well just sit down, lean back, and enjoy the damn thing.
Totally agree.
I've said it before. When I do on the rare occasion, I might have a cigarette this summer. I make love to that cigarette.
What's that?
I let the smoke waft up my nose.
You okay?
I smell it.
What are you doing?
It's like a cigar. I smoke it like a cigar, but I inhale it. That's how you enjoy it. Don't. Okay, got to get back. I mean, how the hell? What is that?
You make love to your cigarettes?
You know what I'm saying, bro.
Nope.
Come on.
No idea.
Come on. I do what you, you do in Chad's office.
You're right. Same thing. It's funny. Hey, good job by Todd Shapiro. Laura Curran was great. And I know John Katz enjoyed it, too. We'll come back with Joyce Kalman on the other side. Right after this.
We are New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77. WABC.
Bernie comes your way at 9:40, brought to you by Pete Morgan and our friends at Peerless Boilers. They do build America's best boilers. Check them out at peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. Your chance at a $100 gift card and a WABC Barry House coffee mug. Don't forget Barry House coffee, the official coffee of the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show here. So we'll go to Florida now. As far as I'm concerned, she is the best talk show host in Florida. Quite frankly, one of the best in the nation. And I learned a lot of my tricks and trade in this profession outside of sports from her. She remains a great friend to this day from WFTL 850 down in Fort Lauderdale. She's been out with me and Bernie many times. It's our friend Joyce Kalman. Joycey, good Tuesday morning. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. I just have to laugh, though, listening to that 77-second news update that said New Jersey is the number one place to live and New York is number three. On what planet is that true?
I guess not here.
I didn't hear that.
I didn't hear that either. As far as I know, you live in the place we all want to live in. And Ron DeSantis, of course, is a hero to both me and Bernard, as he is to you, Joyce. But we saw this bill where he wants to have kids through K-12 spend the first moment of their schooling, 1 to 2 minutes of a moment of silence. And, of course, we're encouraging prayer, which makes a lot of people very angry. I can't figure that out. You, Joyce, you go to church every week. You're a religious person. What is the big issue with this bill that Ron DeSantis has presented?
Well, it just flies in the face of everything that the Marxists want us to do. We're supposed to forget about God, supposed to forget about being compassionate and kind to one another. And instead, we're being divided into groups and categories, and better that they should teach critical race theory than allow the kids to pray at the beginning of the day. I love my governor. He keeps on signing these bills, and he's got an unparalleled record in this country right now.
You ain't lying. I mean, regarding the lockdowns, but regarding, as you point out, critical race theory, banning that, imposing fines on people who request vaccine passports, also the, a bunch of things, whatever. He's done it. He's done it all. But the question to you, Joyce Kalman, is a lot of people are talking about Trump DeSantis. If DeSantis runs with Trump, then there'll be a vacancy at the top and the gubernatorial spot there. Don't you worry about something like that?
I don't worry about it because that's not Ron's plan. Ron is going to get a second term as governor. He's going to finish what he started. And I really don't think he wants to run with Trump, should that be the ticket that everyone talks about, because he may be close to Donald Trump and he may admire the things that Donald Trump did. But Ron is very much his own man. He's a true conservative. And when he runs, he'll be at the top of the ticket.
And listen, he's got you talked about his resume. This guy was a Navy JAG officer. He advised the SEALs in Fallujah in Iraq. A lot of people don't know this about him. I believe he went to Harvard. He has such impressive credentials that a lot of people, they think he's just some schmuck congressman. No, this guy is a real sharp, smart individual.
Yeah, there's no question about it. The way he dissected this whole pandemic from the first day was amazing. He followed the science. He was the only one following the science. And you have to know what you're talking about. You can't get up there in front of the press like the stumbling fool we now have at the helm of this country, who looks lost all the time, led around.
I'm glad you brought him up, because I hearken back to the days of 2015, Joyce, when, again, I was doing sports on 640, but I'd spend a lot of time with you on 850. You'd spend time on my show, too. And you were a very, very ardent Donald Trump supporter, and you would try to convince me that he was the guy, and I was hesitant to believe it. I even voted against him in 2016. I came to my senses and voted for him in 2020. But when you watch what you just said, this guy operating as he did in Europe the last couple of days, now he's with Putin coming up tomorrow, have you ever seen somebody so inept in that position?
not in that position for sure. You know, I cared for my mom who had Alzheimer's for the last 2 years of her life. And I know that look that Joe Biden has when he is completely divorced from what's going on around him and struggling to come up for air. And it breaks my heart. I mean, this is absolute, you know, elder abuse that the party put him forward and that Dr. Jill Biden allowed this. I mean, you don't have to be a doctor or a rocket scientist to see how much he's struggling. And this is the leader of the free world.
She must hate his guts. I said that very early on, that this is her payback. Her revenge is putting him up there. Right, Joy? She hates him. Don't tell me Jill loves him. It's a love story.
She's getting a lot of the spotlight, too.
No, she used him.
But,
yeah.
Joyce, I call him the imbecile in chief. And that's what he is. Mm. But there are moments of clarity. And I don't give him a total pass regarding his senility or imbecility or whatever it is. I think he's a coward as well. He's caving to these crazy radicals like Pelosi and Schumer do. He's part and parcel of that group that is afraid of the far radical left and is just acquiescing to every damn thing they do. Everything we thought bad that would happen if you elected Joe Biden is happening. We might as well have elected Bernie Sanders and AOC as opposed to the imbecile in chief and the dingbat that is the vice president.
I think you're right. I mean, first and foremost, he caves and always has. We have 50 years to look upon Joe Biden's career in Washington, and he's never been on the right side of any issue, particularly foreign policy issues. He never stood up to anybody, including the segregationists. You know, he wasn't for school busing. You know, the list is endless. He caves to whoever has the loudest voice and the last voice in his ear, which does not a great leader make. One thing you could say about Donald Trump is he did what he thought was right, and he didn't care what anybody said. Right.
South Florida superstar, WFTL 850's Joyce Kalpin, who, for my money, is as good as it gets. Hey, Joycey, Bernie did bring up the idiot vice president. So as much as we malign Joe Biden, as bad as it is with Joe, God forbid, he's out of that job and Kamala takes over, then we're really in trouble.
Yeah, well, listen, this is, you know, elections have consequences. I told people at the time that you have to look at this ticket and you have to imagine, first and foremost, that either one of these would be leading this country for any period of time. And people said, well, you know, we're tired of the rancor and we don't want any more fighting. We're going to get a nice peaceful administration. And instead, you got these radical lunatics. You got this woman who can't even get down to the border, but then laughs in your face when you ask her about it. This is the most unprepared duo I've ever seen in the White House.
It is so bad. And it's only going to get worse. Tomorrow, of course, Biden is in Europe, as you know. He wore those aviator glasses with the Queen. He was been laughed at round tables because he's misspeaking, and Joe Biden is dragging him away from reporters, and people are laughing at him. It's so bad. So now he's not going to have a dual press conference, as is traditional, after a bilateral meeting with Vladimir Putin. Now, Putin is a former KGB guy. So to me, it would look like Mr. Magoo and Darth Vader on the stage. And I think, of course, that's why they're not doing it.
Yeah, no. They couldn't possibly put him there next to Vlad. And that's okay, because Vladimir Putin has a way of irritating even someone like Donald Trump and getting them in a compromised position.
That's right.
And Joe Biden has been compromised enough during this trip. Let them go in there. Let Vlad smack him around in private. Come out and make a statement about how he's not going to do anything the United States asks. And let Joe Biden come out and say, once again, America's respected.
Yeah, right. Once again, he did use that yesterday. We're back.
Sure.
You know, we talked about Ron DeSantis' possibilities of going national. I think you're right, Joyce. I think he'll want to run that second term, finish his job. But a name that keeps popping up out of Miami is Suarez, and a very impressive Latino. And we're wondering here, Bernie and Sid, up in New York City, is that a guy that maybe one day could run for the governor of the state and maybe even have his eyes on a national position?
Absolutely. He's a contender. So is Byron Donald over there on the West Coast.
Yes.
We got a great farm team. Let me tell you something. When I look at the bench that the Republicans have, I know that there's a future for the party. Even when everybody tells you it's over, it ain't over until the fat guy gets into office.
Yeah, I love that Congressman Byron Donalds. He's terrific. But speaking of congressmen in Florida, I must bring up Matt Gaetz. He has a precipitous suffered a precipitous fall from grace. He was a rising star, and he was terrific. He was a great fighter. I mean, is he ever going to come back, or you think he's done?
I hope he's done. I got to tell you, there are some parts of Matt Gaetz that just can't be reconciled, and I knew that from the start. He was basically the wingman for Ron DeSantis until Ron caught on to just how easily he flies off into the Netherlands. And so I think Matt Gaetz had enough of a career. Let him take a breather for a few years, and then he can maybe come back and rejoin Congress. You know, this group in Washington has this clever idea that if you just let people forget about what a crazy person you are, they'll elect you again. Look, it worked for Alcee Hastings.
Oh, yeah.
That did. Yes, it did. So last one for me, Joyce. I have not been in Sound. Well, I was in Miami shooting that TV show, but that was all the way down in Miami. But I haven't been back to Boca for quite some time. And the last time I was there, I was still during the COVID. We've heard, of course, that everybody left New York. It's all empty here, right outside on Third Avenue. Nobody's here anymore. And they're all living down with you in South Florida. So have you noticed a lot more traffic, a lot more people, a lot more New York plates since the whole COVID thing started up here in New York?
Oh, absolutely. And what they've done for our property values, let me thank you all right now.
Yeah.
If you intend to come down here, please come soon, because I still have two properties I'm trying to sell, and I want maximum dollar for them. But you must leave your stupid politics at home. I wear a T-shirt all day long that says, don't bring your New York politics here. That's it.
Let me give you this low-hanging fruit. The highest elected Jewish official in the nation, Chuck Schumer, our neighbor here on 3rd Avenue, believe it or not. I mean, you got these people in the squad. They hate America. They hate the Jews. And Schmuck Schumer says nothing. Nancy Pelosi excuses everything. The Democrats give him a pass. Omar gets to stay in the House Foreign Affairs Committee. You take it away, Joyce Kaufman.
You think you feel bad about Chuck Schumer? I have Debbie Wasserman Schultz,
ugh,
my congressman, Ted Deutsch.
Ugh.
I have Lois Frankel here in Palm Beach. Three of the high-ranking Democrat Jews live in my area, and not one of them, they sent a letter saying, like, oh, you shouldn't make that analogy between Hamas and the United States and Israel, and then they do nothing else about it. Well, we accept her apology. Her clarification makes sense to us. They should all go to hell.
Yeah,
and
it's the first time she did it. Oh, no, it's not.
No, it's not.
She did it like several times. You're right.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz is one of my least favorite politicians, one of my least favorite people in the history of the world. I can't stand her. Listen, but the opposite for you. Love you, and you're always great on this show. We love when you come on. Enjoy South Florida, and we look forward to speaking to you again very soon, Joyce. Thank you.
Love you guys. Thanks. Take
love
care.
Love you, too. That's the great Joyce Kaufman. Check her out every day if you're down in South Florida or here. Afternoons on WFTL 850 AM in Fort Lauderdale. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. We'll take a contestant for Beat Bernie coming up next.
77 WABC.
Your face cloud over like a little girl's, and your eyes have lost their shine. Something softly I'm not meant to hear. Baby, tell me what's on your mind.
I don't care what people say about the two of us from different worlds. I love you so much that it hurts inside. Are you listening?
Please listen to me, girl.
Check out the Bernie and Sid show all over the world. Download the 77 WABC app. Don't download that app today, folks. Don't wait. 77 WABC, it's free. You could also stream the show live online every day at WABCradio.com. Listen on Alexa. Simply say, Alexa, enable the 77 WABC skill. We are simulcast. FM radio, Eastern Long Island, Talk Radio 107.1. Follow Bernie and Sid on Twitter, at Bernie and Sid, at Bernard McGurk 1, at Sid Rosenberg. Also on Instagram, at It's Bernie and Sid. And my new Instagram, it's new, Rosenberg.Sydney. Once again, follow me at Rosenberg.Sydney. And all three of us, Bernie, Sid, and the show, have our own Facebook page.
I like it. You know, our boy Rich Lowry, who's great, every Monday morning on the Bernie and Sid Show, it's 7:25. And I did mention this earlier, but he actually tweeted out, and it's true. It's over the top, way over the top these days, needless to say. I mean, it's everywhere. You know it, folks. Anyway, he tweets about Lin-Manuel Miranda. This is what he tweets. The intense, ceaseless racial obsession of the woke left and the inability of mainstream figures to push back against it is one of the defining features of our time. And he's right. Everything seems to be revolve around race these
all
days.
All of it. All of it.
And he links to a Variety magazine article on Lin-Manuel Miranda addressing the lack of Afro-Latino representation in his movie In the Heights. He actually apologizes for it. And one of his producers, a guy who worked with him on the movie, sat down with some black lady on a podcast, and they discussed just that. And the kid was he was a kid. He's like, he's in his 30s. He's groveling. Listen to this.
Most of your principal actors were light-skinned or white-passing Latinx people. What are your thoughts on the lack of black Latinx people represented in your film?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that was something we talked about and I needed to be educated about, of course. In the end, you know, when we were looking at the cast, we tried to get the people who were best for those roles, and that specifically. And we saw a lot of people, like Daphne or Dasha. But I hear you on... you know, trying to fill those cast members with darker skin. I think that's a really good conversation to have.
You want me to wash your feet? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?
Wash your feet.
Kevin Hart said this about the cancel culture. He said, "Shut the F up." That's what Kevin Hart said.
Yeah,
and,
I mean,
and I'm with
Kevin Hart.
Yeah, totally.
He's a horrible stand-up comic.
Yeah, but I mean, his point is well taken.
No, his point is well taken.
In fact, he was victimized himself. Old tweets. Remember they took him off the Oscars telecast.
Yes, one of he was supposed to host the Academy Awards.
Yeah.
Was it the Academy Awards?
And so look, I mean, there's got to be some sort of, at some point, come on. We are living in a time of, we're going to look back at this time, hopefully if they don't take over, which is a distinct possibility at this point, which is why we have to fight. But when we do win, if we do win, we're going to look back and say, wow, those were crazy, freaking scary times.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Hopefully we can do that. Eric Adams has my vote now. You know, you're more sold on him than I am. I think he talks out of both sides of his mouth and telling me, politics. That's not good enough.
You tell me who's better than him and the Democrat side.
Nobody.
All right, so then you agree with me.
But I'm not going to vote for a Democrat, so why even bother giving Eric Adams an endorsement? I want Curtis Sliwa, that's it.
Because the possibility, in fact, I hate to say it, the probability is that whoever wins the Democrat primary be the mayor.
I'm taking Catherine Garcia. That's my choice. Although, now I may be going back to Eric Adams because Danny Glover, the great actor Danny Glover, has endorsed Eric Adams, which is in today's New York Post. I care? When was the last time Danny Glover made a movie? He used to make movies with Mel Gibson, who hates the Jews.
I think he's a Farrakhan guy as well, Danny Glover.
Sure he is.
Yeah.
Gibson hates the Jews, and that was his best friend. What are those movies they made together? They were good.
Remember this. He's running, Eric Adams is, in a primary. So he's got to get broad support, you know, from all sides.
I know. I'm not buying it. Lethal Weapon is the movie.
And we're not going to find out the result of the election, as I pointed out, because it is idiotic voting system that they have. I'm not even going to say the words. I don't even want to say the words, what it's called. The blank voting.
They're saying July 2nd now.
It's going to be
10 days
anywhere
later.
From early to mid-July.
That's stupid. God, that's stupid.
It's corrupt. It's fraught with all kinds of peril, fraud, all kinds of nonsense.
I love when you say
that. And you're going to have... You're going to have Democrats saying that they don't believe in the results of the election. They're going to become domestic terrorists. It's going to be delicious. It's going to be quite the irony to have Maya Wiley, you know, saying that she doesn't believe the results of the election because they were, you know, there's some sort of fraud with the blank voting.
You know, you mentioned Maya Wiley, and we have spent the better part together the last 5 or 6 years just hammering Bill de Blasio. Well deserved. It's not like we have anything against the guy. He has been the worst mayor in the history of this city.
There's a couple of cops been killed.
Yeah, right.
Because
that's
of
right.
him. So
that's
yeah, right. I kind of hate him.
He's the
that.
Worst. I mean, when I was a kid growing up, I do remember that people really hated A. Beam in the 70s, and that was during a very, in fact, during the Summer of Sam, the son of 1977.
Right, but he was just he was a bungling fool like Bill de Blasio, but de Blasio went out of his way to yes. kick the cops in the teeth right. when they were down.
And David Dinkins wasn't much better, another guy that Eric Adams seems to like, that's fine. He was a nice guy, God rest his soul, he died last year, but he was a horrible mayor. But if I said to you right now...
He also was a World War II Marine Corps veteran.
Who was?
David Dinkins.
Who cares? What does that mean? What does that do with Yonko Rosenbaum getting stabbed to death in Crown Heights and the way he treated Al Sharpton and all that stuff?
You know, he was. I'm just saying he was.
Okay, great.
Greg Kelly tweeted out that David Dinkins married him in 2017.
Okay, that's
Marine
nice.
To Marine.
That's very nice. Very nice. I didn't know that.
I just don't think you care.
No, I don't care. I don't like the fact that you could take somebody who turned out to do a bad job someplace else. Not that you've done that, and it all goes away because he heroically served our country. Well, that's great that he did that,
here's what
a terrible mayor.
You want a good retort to that?
Yeah.
The one that I use when it's convenient.
Go ahead.
I say Lee Harvey Oswald was a Marine also.
Isn't that true, though?
Well, I mean, I'm just giving it to you. Say thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
That is true.
You can use that anytime you want.
Right, and he was a guy
Think of me
I will.
Quietly.
Although I don't think he killed Kennedy, so.
What happened?
I don't think he killed Kennedy.
Lee Harvey Oswald did.
No, he didn't.
All right.
He was there. So let me ask you this. If I said to you right now.
You think it was Joe DiMaggio?
I do, yes. He was very upset about Marilyn Monroe. As bad as Bill de Blasio has been, okay?
Right.
I'm going to fast forward this. I'm setting up a whole scenario. Maya Wiley wins. Maya Wiley wins. And I say to you, New Yorkers.
Could happen, bro.
Could happen.
With this crazy voting system.
She's moving up quickly. She's in third now in these polls behind Catherine Garcia and Eric Adams.
You could come in. You could have the most percentage of the vote, say 25%.
And still lose.
And for some reason, you could still lose.
That's correct. So if I say to you, if Maya Wiley wins, we're going to do what Mayor Bloomberg did. We're going to add another term and keep this putz, and he's a putz, Bill de Blasio in office. Would you take that?
No.
Really? You would rather have Maya Wiley than Bill de Blasio?
I mean, if you make your bed, you lie in it. I mean, it's a democratic system. You got to go with the democratic system.
Oh.
No, would I rather have her? You're giving me the choice between Wiley and de Blasio?
Right, that's like AIDS or herpes, I know.
No, that's Baghdadi or, Bin Laden. I mean, how can I possibly choose? If I have to go between the two, I go with the democratic process.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know.
We're in so much trouble.
Pray to God that does not happen. here's the
You said the same thing about Biden. Pray to God doesn't lose.
Listen, the silver lining to a Maya Wiley winning
is
that it gives Curtis Sliwa a much better chance in the general election.
I like it. Much
better chance. There's a stark contrast.
I like it.
She is a complete anti-law and order candidate. He is the total pro-law and order candidate.
Oh, yeah.
So it gives him a much better chance. So look at the silver lining if she does win the Democratic nomination.
I like it.
How about that for
love it.
Snap analysis?
That's beautiful.
Listen, Sid will be right back with sports traffic with Joe Nolan. But right now it is the 77 WABC clip of the day. Listen to the rundown with Lydia Serrani weekday afternoons at 4 o'clock. Lydia says the kids, they ain't all right.
I also believe that an even bigger threat is what's going on in our school system. The brainwashing that our kids are undergoing regarding critical race theory. And when you have children coming home and they're saying, well, Mom, I'm white, so I must be an oppressor. Or this kid's black, so he's being oppressed. And they're perpetuating this victim mentality. And then you have a Governor Cuomo, who says we're at 69.9% and we just need 0.1%. And then everybody can be without masks, except for the kids in schools. So you tell me how that makes sense.
This is Sid on Sports.
Oh, my goodness!
On 77 WABC.
Hope you caught Nassau County exec Laura Curran on earlier. Islanders drop the puck tonight, 8 p.m. in Tampa, with a chance to take a commanding 2-0 lead in their series against the Lightning, try to exact revenge from a loss to the Stanley Cup champion Lightning from a year ago. Islanders are going to move on to the Stanley Cup round. They lead that series now, 1-0. Again, game two coming up tonight. Game five, Brooklyn tonight. NBA, the Nets, they led the Bucks 2-0. They've now lost the last two, and they've lost two of their three superstars with injuries. Neither Kyrie Irving nor James Harden available tonight. Kevin Durant will try to get the Nets back on the winning side. Here's Brooklyn's coach, Steve Nash.
No update on James, but Kai had an MRI.
sprained ankle and is out tomorrow.
Again, game five tonight. That series is 2-2. Last night in the Eastern Conference, the Hawks beat the top seed Sixers 103-100. That series is now 2-2. Out west, the Clippers beat the top seed Jazz 118-104. That series is now 2-2. The winner will take on the Phoenix Suns. Baseball, the Yankees a day off yesterday, but they lost a half a game in the standings because the red-hot Tampa Bay Rays won again. The Yanks are now 9 back in fourth place at 33-32. They're in Toronto tonight taking on the Blue Jays, but the Mets are the story of the summer. They win again in Queens last night. They beat the Cubs 5-2, the final score. Dominic Smith, the big home run, but David Peterson was the big story. 6 shutout innings, earned his second win of the year. Here was the Mets starter after the win.
That's all you can do is throw one at a time, and so I think when we simplify it down to that and really focus on each pitch and executing that pitch, the results will come.
Mets improved to 33-25, enjoying a four-game lead over Joe Girardi's Phillies. They're 5.5 on the Braves. They got the Cubs again in Queens later on tonight. And the Rangers have hired former Columbus, Florida, and Vegas head coach Gerard Gallant as their new head hockey coach. Sports brought to you by Pete Morgan, I should say, and Peerless Boilers. PeerlessBoilers.com, PavilionTankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. But sports, I'm Sid.
It's time to beat Bernie.
It's time to beat Bernie.
Sponsored by Peerless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters.
You think you can beat Bernie?
Good luck.
It's time to beat Bernie.
Yeah, we'll go up to Spring Valley, New York. It's actually in Jersey a couple of weeks ago by Montvale. And that's very, very close to Spring Valley, New York. Kind of on the border there. Yoli is in Spring Valley this morning. Good morning, Yoli. How are you?
Good morning, boys. Good morning.
How are you?
Thank you for having me. Moundsville is on the other side. There's no Yoli's in Moundsville.
Well, I understand. You're on the other side, yes. You've got Spring Valley and Pearl River and all those Rockland County stops, yes.
Mount City.
What kind of phone is this? You're calling to the number one morning show in New York, and your phone sucks. What? The guy can't play. He can't play. We got to take a 30-second break, and you got to call back from another phone or get a different player. I can't even hear him. It's terrible. So play a 30 and come back with somebody else.
Now it's time to beat Bernie.
It's time to beat Bernie.
Sponsored by Peerless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters.
You think you can beat Bernie?
Good luck.
It's time to beat Bernie.
Oh, let's try this again. We'll go from Spring Valley, New York, to Astoria, Queens, where Bernie and I used to work for many years at the Astoria Kaufman Studios. E. Frank is on the phone. He calls in quite a bit. E. Frank, how are you?
How are you, Sid?
Good. Your phone sounds better than the last guy. You ready to play?
Yes, ready to go.
All right, you're a smart guy. You should fare well today. Here we go. Number one, who was the last United States president born in the state of New York?
Teddy Roosevelt.
Wrong, you two-legged back of anthrax should be Jesus.
Are you serious? Have you heard of Jamaica Queens? Donald Trump. All right, number two. Fast and Furious star and wrestler John Cena apologized at the end of May of this year for saying what island in the Pacific Ocean was a country?
America Samoa.
Wrong, you two-legged back of anthrax should be Jesus.
Taiwan is the answer. Power to the People was a slogan of what African-American revolutionary group co-founded by Huey Newton?
Apartheid.
Wrong, you two-legged back of anthrax should be Jesus.
What was the paramilitary organization created in Ireland in 1919 as a successor to a militant group called the Irish Volunteers?
Sinn Féin.
Wrong, you two-legged back of anthrax should be Jesus.
Today you can find him hosting his TV in which the studio audience chants his name, but in 1977... he was elected mayor of Cincinnati.
John Kerry?
Thank you.
Wrong, you two-legged back.
Nice job. E-Frank put him on hold.
E-Frank needs to get rid of his public school education. Jesus.
My God. Hey,
Jesus,
by the way, the best part about Jerry Springer is he bounced a check to a hooker when he was the mayor. That's a true story. Anyway, here comes Bernard McGurk. Bernie, you got to get one right. E-Frank was brutal.
E. Frank does not listen to the show.
I mean, not only were his answers incorrect, they were like different galaxy. Yeah,
this guy, I know.
Called Frank Morano at night, the whole thing. So you get one right, you win. Who was the last United States president born in the state of New York?
Born in the state of New York. The last president?
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
How about we just say who was the last president?
It was Donald Trump. All right, give me a second.
This guy said Teddy Roosevelt.
I sleep like 2 hours a night.
I'm
not giving you a snap answer and then making a mistake.
I understand. Well, you've gotten that right, though, if I didn't say who was.
Of course. Of course.
Fast and Furious star and wrestler John Cena apologized, Bernie, at the end of May of this year for saying that what island in the Pacific Ocean was a country?
Yeah. Hawaii. Taiwan.
Yes. Power to the People was a slogan of what African-American revolutionary group co-founded by Huey Newton?
Black Panthers.
Yeah. I was watching Forrest Gump again the other day, like the, millionth time. And everybody got in a fight with the guy from the Black Panthers. It's amazing how they found a way to include everything from all those eras in that movie.
Oh, it was brilliant.
Just unbelievable.
One of the top 10 movies
ever.
Oh,
for sure. For sure. I agree with you. What was the paramilitary organization created in Ireland, really, in 1919 as a successor to a militant group called the Irish Volunteers?
It was the PLO. No, it was the Irish Republican Army.
Very good. And in your effort to go 5 for 5, as our player went 0 for 5. And as always, I'll talk to you fine after the game. We're going to go right to the commercial. Today, you can find him hosting a TV show in which the studio audience chants his name. But in 77,
right,
he was elected mayor of Cincinnati.
Oh, it's Jerry.
Jerry.
What the hell is his last name? I can't remember his last name. Jerry.
Remember when he bounced a check to the hooker when he was mayor?
Yes, I do.
It's a true story.
I know that.
Maury Povich loved that on A Current Affair.
He used to come on IMUS all the time.
He used to come out with me all the time.
Jerry.
Springer.
Okay.
One of the greats. 1977, that was the summer here in New York. Blackout, Summer of Sam. Reggie Jackson, 3 home runs against 3 different Dodger pitchers in the World Series.
Remember it well.
1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. We'll close it out on the phones with you folks. Wrapping up what was a great Tuesday show.
Now, stay entertained and informed with Bernie and Sid in the Morning on 77 WABC.
Right. Once again, if you're anywhere near Tenafly, New Jersey, I used to live there on Elmer and Serpentine. The Real Housewives of New Jersey are filming live there this morning. They're raising the Gay Pride flag. It is Gay Pride Month. So you can check out Dolores, Frank, and Margaret, and Joe Beningo, and all of them in Tenafly this morning raising the Gay Pride flag. It's a big deal. They're very in tune to that stuff, that show. And actually, all of the Bravo channel, led by Andy Cohen, who's gay.
Of course. There you go. Say no more.
Bro. Yeah. Are you going?
Bro.
You going to go watch him raise the flag?
I'll be there in spirit.
In spirit, right.
Yeah.
Are you going to raise a gay flag in front of your house this morning in Long Beach? Or Lido Beach?
Well, I might raise the flagpole, but
right.
I don't know if the flag. Hey, look, we posted a question of the day at 77 WABC. Should Chrissy Teigen, WABCradio.com, I should say, should Chrissy Teigen be canceled for good?
Well, you know, she is in the news again today because she's apologizing for all the online bullying she's done. Get her out! Let me answer that myself here. I know I usually answer these on air, but I would say that I hate the cancel culture. I'm against it. It's happened to me. You know, I still can't get jobs today for my bad Venus joke on IMUS back in 2001. You know that for a fact. That's really true, Bernie.
Yep.
So I hate that. But, she is so despicable, so hateful, so disgusting. F her. Cancel her.
She's pathetic.
Well, we're trying to fight racism today, and she is a consummate racist. Her and
her husband, John Legend.
That overrated singer husband of hers. The two of them. They're big-time racists, and they don't care about all these poor black kids being murdered in the inner city, so they're callous and indifferent and oblivious to suffering. So get her out. I say get her out. But the two options are, yes, she's encouraged suicide. The second option is, no, she deserves a second chance. Go to WABCradio.com, folks, and vote.
Get her out!
Here's Charlie in Hell's Kitchen. This story is old, though, but okay. Charlie, go ahead. Line 3.
Charlie!
Yeah. Hello, Bernie. Yeah, we talked about Paul Michael Glaser earlier.
him and Starsky, him and Hutch, him and David Saul, they really don't like each other. Paul Michael Glazer's wife died of AIDS. She caught it in a blood transfusion in a hospital. And so he set up the Elizabeth Glazer AIDS Memorial Foundation. And he can't stand the guy, David Saul, because David Saul had some marital troubles and got involved in.
Okay.
Yeah, and he can't.
Didn't know that. But well, I guess you wanted to call about my friend Grant Napier, the Sacramento Kings announcer.
Yes, I want to ask you about that. I put that on there. So I understand you're the sports guy. You would know more about this than I would. But he was the announcer for 32 years.
That's 32 right.
32 years of the Sacramento Kings. I understand he was loved by everybody in Sacramento.
Yep.
And he was asked a specific question. He said, do Black Lives Matter? A reporter tried to say
It wasn't a reporter. It was DeMarcus Cousins, who was a player, a star player for the Sacramento Kings at the time. And DeMarcus, who is another one of these LeBron James, Kyrie Irving types, was clearly setting up Grant. And Grant responded with, well, all lives matter. Tell me what's wrong with that, folks. Well, all lives matter. And DeMarcus got very upset. And make a long story short, yes, he got fired after 32 years. So,
did he have a contract?
Maybe it was a reporter who asked him, but DeMarcus got mad.
I don't imagine he could sue. He should have some legal recourse.
He didn't do anything. It's over 2 years old.
Renew his contract or something, whatever. No. Obviously it's so stupid. All lives matter, all lives matter, all lives matter, all lives matter, all lives matter.
That's it. Marianne is in Fort Lee, New Jersey, right there by Tenafly. Good morning, Marianne.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Listen, I'm calling because, and there's a lot of us in this situation, we have college children who, now that tuition bills are being due, we're getting letters from our colleges saying that they're not going to let our kids come on campus unless they get the vaccine. We can apply for an exemption, and they need to approve it.
Right.
If they do.
Well, you don't like that. You don't think they should be telling your children to get these vaccines. You're against that.
It's $56,000 a year for college in any way state, right? It is not an approved vaccine. If you look at what Tucker said recently on Friday about
the heart,
the symptoms that these exactly.
Myocarditis.
Okay? Let alone.
Myocarditis and the Israeli study found the same thing. Girls,
exactly.
Marianne was just going to say girls, they don't know how it affects their fertility. So Marianne makes a very good point. This is wrong what the colleges are doing.
I agree.
It's completely wrong. Yep. They should kids should, do not suffer. Young people do not suffer from the virus itself. If you have a comorbid, if you're fat. You have diabetes or something like that, well, get the vaccine then. Go ahead. But let everybody go back. It's a free country. This is wrong to mandate this vax. And these people, there are a lot of parents, as Marianne is, in this conundrum right now. They want their kids to go. Obviously, the kids want to go back to college.
Yep.
College is reopening, but they don't want to take the vaccine.
So it's a big, you're 100% right, Bernie. I couldn't agree more. And my daughter, Ava, is going to college next year. We'll be faced with the same issue. I don't know what we're going to do. So you got the Mets on TV tonight. They're in first place. You have the Brooklyn Nets on TV tonight trying to win this 7-game series and go to the Eastern Conference Finals. And you've got the Islanders on TV tonight trying to win game 2 against Tampa Bay. Mets, Nets, Islanders. Which way are you going? Tucker Carlson.
And Greg Kelly. I'll tune into the Islanders for a little bit.
8 o'clock.
Baseball for me is a weekend endeavor, and I would never watch the Nets.
There you go. All right, folks, we hope you enjoyed the Tuesday edition of Bernie and Sid. Great show comes your way again tomorrow. Molly, great job. Thank you for filling in for John O'Halloran. Deb Valentine, Matt Meany, from all of us to all of you until 6:30 on a hump day Wednesday.
Peace!